जयं शुपाल परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशतश्री श्रीमान् अभयचरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुपादकी जयं नित्यलीला प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशतश्री श्रीमान् భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదికి అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమసహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాస్తాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాకుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన ధామికి మాయపూర్ ధామికి మధురపురి ధామికి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామికి ద్వారకాపురి ధామికి గంగమాయికి హేమనమాయికి తులసీదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర ప్రేమానంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శిష్య శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శిష్యుల ప్రభుపాద నమామ శుభదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూదలేశమిది భక్తి విదాంత స్వామిని దినామిని నమస్తే సరస్వదేవం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయ చక్షురుణ్మిలితాం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టాం స్థాపితాం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపకతామహ్యం తదాది స్వపదాందియం వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురుం వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాదం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావదూతం పరిజనా సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపాదాన్ సహగణలలితాం శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ నమామి విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిన్ ఇది నామనే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణే నమామి విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి ఇది నామినే శ్రీవర్షభానవీ దేవీ దైదాయ కృపాబ్ధయే కృష్ణ సంబంధ విజ్ఞానం ఆయుదే ప్రభవే నమః మాధుర్యోజ్వల ప్రేమాద్య శ్రీరూపానుగభక్తిత శ్రీగౌరకరుణాశక్తి విగ్రహాయ నమోస్తుతే నమస్తే గౌరవాణి శ్రీ మూర్తయే దీనతారిణే రూపానుగ విరుద్ధావ సిద్ధాంత ద్వందహారిణే నమో గౌరకిశోరాయ సాక్షాద్వైరాగ్యమూర్తయే విప్రలంబరసాంబోధే పాదాంబుజాయ తే నమః నమో భక్తి వినోదాయ సచ్చిదానందనామినే గౌరశక్తిస్వరూపాయ రూపనూగవరాయ తే పూర్వావిర్భవభూమే స్వం నిర్దేష్టా సజ్జనప్రియా వైష్ణవా సార్వభౌమశ్రీ జగన్నాథాయ తే నమః వంచకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధూభ్యైవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః నమో మహావదాన్యాయ కృష్ణప్రేమప్రదాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణచైతన్యనామ్నే గౌరద్విషే నమః పంచతత్వాత్మకం కృష్ణం భక్తరూపస్వరూపకం భక్తావతారం భక్తాఖ్యం నమామి భక్తసాత్వికం హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పదే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంద రాధాకాంద నమోస్తుతే జయతాం సురతోపాంగోర్మమ మందమదేర్గతి మత్సర్వస్వపదాంబోజౌ రాధామదనమోహనౌ దివ్యవృందారణ్యకల్పద్రుమాద శ్రీమన్రత్నాకర సింహాసనస్థౌ శ్రీమన్రాధా శ్రీల గోవిందదేవౌ ప్రష్టాలిభిః సేవ్యమానౌ స్మరామి శ్రీమన్రాసరసారంభి वंशीवटतटस्थितं कर्षान् वेणुस्वनेर्गोपेर् गोपीनाथाश्रियेस्तु नाहम् तप्तकाञ्चनगौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रियं श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभु नित्यानन्दं श्रीअद्वैतगदाधार श्रीवासादिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे The 11th chapter in the Bhagavad Gita is called Vishwarupa Darshanam. Universal form is called Vishwarupa Darshanam. Darshana Yogam, it is called, isn't it? Vishwarupa Darshana Yogam. You will see this Vishwarupa Darshanam in several places in the Bhagavadam. There is the 8th chapter in the 10th canto. That chapter is called Vishwarupa Darshanam, where Yashoda Devi had seen the Vishwarupam, Krishna's Vishwarupam. Similarly, you will notice again she had once again seen the Vishwarupam. Twice Krishna showed the Vishwarupam or universal form to Yashoda Devi. Then when Vamana Murthy appeared in front of Mahabali, that chapter is also called Vishwarupa Darshanam. Krishna's Vishwarupam. So, Vishwarupam, and similarly you will see in Mahabharatam there is a chapter which is called as Vishwarupa Darshanam. Vishwarupam of Krishna. That is when Krishna goes to the assembly of the Kauravas, and in the assembly of the Dhritarashtra, Bhishma, Drona and all the Kauravas and other kings, another display of Vishwarupam. So, what's interesting here is that this Vishwarupam, what Krishna has shown in different places, they're not the same. They're all different. That you can see, you can take Bhagavatam and look at it when you find time. In the, I think it is the 8th chapter in the 10th canto, and then the 28th chapter in the 8th canto, they're all called Vishwarupa Darshana Yogam. So, all of that you will find there, the Vishwarupam what Krishna has shown, they are different. The Vishwarupam here in the Bhagavad Gita, what Arjuna has seen is also different from what Krishna has shown to Yashoda Devi or what Krishna has shown, Vamanamurti has shown to Mahabali. All of them are different. So, from this you can understand that the what we call as Vishwarupam is not a fixed concept. That means it is a particular form in the form of a Vishwarupa Darshanam. So, according to the person who is seeing the Vishwarupam, according to the particular realization what Krishna wants to offer to that person, Visharupam changes. Visharupam changes. So this is the important thing. The description in the Bhagavadam and in the Bhagavad Gita of Krishna's Visharupam is quite different, very different. And that is what one of the important things to remember. So when we begin this chapter, we mentioned there that Krishna says, Tatraja Vishthavyaham idam krishnam ekam shena sthito jagat. In other words, that ekam shena sthito jagat, Krishna is saying, out of his so many opulences, this whole creation is only a very small part of that. So big is the opulences of Krishna, that this creation itself is a very small part of that, of Krishna's opulences. Imagine that opulence of Krishna then. Ekam shena sthito jagat, is Krishna is saying there. That a small part of that, ekam shena sthito jagat. That iti bhagavad abhidam shutva ya jagat atmarupam adhyam aishwaram tat sakshal kartam icham Arjuna vacha. So Arjuna heard this, and Arjuna, when he heard the first 10 chapters of Bhagavad Gita, he wanted to understand that when Krishna mentions about various opulences, where he mentioned, isn't it? He mentions there that yadyad vibhudimat sattvam, in the 41st verse, in the 10th chapter, that is just before the universal form begins. Those two verses are the introduction to the 11th chapter. Yadyad vibhudimat sattvam shrimad urjidam evava taddadeva avagachatvam mamatejam shasambhavam. Yadyad vibhudimat sattvam shrimad urjidam evava taddadeva avagachatvam mamatejam shasambhavam. Know that all beautiful, glorious and mighty creations spring from but a spark of my splendor. And then adhava bahunaidena kim yadena tava arjuna vistabhya hama idam kratsnam ekam shena sthito jagad. Then adhava bahunaidena kim yadena tava arjuna. Arjuna, what is the point in talking about all this in detail? Because it has no meaning in discussing this Visharupa Darshana Yoga. Visharupam, there is Krishna saying here, what is the point in talking about it? Because it's so unlimited. And according to the circumstances and the person, Visharupam will also has its own experiences. It is an experience of Arjuna. It's an experience of Yashoda Devi, what Krishna has given. Krishna was in, you can see there, that only Arjuna saw the Visharupam. And only Yashoda Devi saw the Visharupam. Only Vamanam Mahabali saw the Visharupam. In a particular way, it was experience was given to them. It's not that a physical manifestation of the Visharupam comes. It's that experience what they saw at that particular moment in their realizations, what they experienced when they were standing there. That's what. So with a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. That is what ekam shena sthito jagat means. Ekam shena sthito jagat. Krishna is saying, by my single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. All that is in the 10th chapter which we have seen. So this whole Visharupa Darshana Yogam, as we spoke about it last Sunday, that it is a yoga experience, yoga mandalam. It is referred to as yoga mandalam, yoga sampradayam. And if we do not understand that yoga process, it is difficult. It will remain like a Puranic story to everybody. That why is it spoken in this way? That Puranam, there are so many descriptions like that, isn't it? When you read that, you are amazed by the how to understand that Puranic description. It's always baffling to many people, isn't it? Sometimes people think that they are the reality and they perceive that way. But Puranam's interest is that somehow or the other deliver the message of the soul to us and to get us absorbed in that. But Puranams describe it in a different way, in a different style. That's what Puranams do. So if we don't understand this yoga system, yoga sampradayam, then we will find that difficult also to understand this Visharupa Darshana. So we have started yesterday, it is important to analyze how does one spiritual life starts? One, how does one spiritual life starts and develops in this world? So, first thing in from Vedantam point of view, it is first thing that a desire for spiritual life comes to someone. A desire for spiritual life comes to someone, which is a very, very rare thing, isn't it? Very, very rare thing is this desire for spiritual life. It rarely happens. And if it does happen, that person also, his spiritual life also can come to a point and stop there. It won't go further. It will stay there. Many people, you can see that in life also. Some people just want to have that much spiritual life so that they can live peacefully in this world. That is also one kind level of spiritual life. They just want to be somehow exist in this world for some in their life and not to have too much of a distress and unhappiness in life. So they take shelter of spiritual path, but they don't go beyond than that. They don't go beyond than that. But from once you come to Upanishad stage and in Vedantam and all that, that kind of spiritual life is not encouraged very much. It's not encouraged very much because there is not enough inquiry spirit in there, or there is not enough enthusiasm to make progress in spiritual life. Because quite often what happens is that we are hearing and at the same time it all remains completely aloof from us. We just don't know what's all this about. So many things we are discussing from Bhagavad Gita, but life remains the same and no change is happening to the life. You feel that why do I waste time doing all this, studying all these things, reading all these books, this kind of things. But here, that is where we have to be a little bit more conscious of the fact that spiritual life is all centered around knowledge. It is not simply just to fill the plug somewhere, to keep our material life happy, or to keep our material life going in this world. More than that, it is how to change the whole understanding, conditioning in us and ignorance in us. Ignorance is the deepest problem in us, not all the miseries of this material world. It is from ignorance everything has come, all the problems of this life, isn't it? You can see if you analyze it. From ignorance, ajnanam is the word, or avidya is the word used in the Shastram, that from avidya comes everything. When there is no proper understanding of self, of the self, of the knowledge of the self, then everything what we do in this world is in ignorance. Completely in ignorance we are doing things. So many things. If our education is complete ignorance. Our thinking is in ignorance. Modes of lower modes of nature influencing us. So that is where it is necessary to have a complete shake-up inside. But most of us are not ready for it or not prepared for that. We just want to keep the days going without too much disturbances in life. And so some people take to that extent spiritual life, they will accept it. But beyond than that, it is difficult for them. And if you say something beyond than that, it becomes not very attractive for them. There is a simple example. When we see ourselves, because we are here in this world, isn't it? How do we understand this, our existence in this world? We see the world. In that world, we exist. The body exists. And in that body, there is mind, intelligence, senses, ego, everything. And right inside that all is the soul. Is the soul. If we accept the soul, I'm saying. If we accept the soul. Now, the world is existing. We have come to this world. We have brought this body into this world. And in this body, all these things happen to exist. And right inside, in the interior of all that, the soul is existing. This is how we see ourselves, isn't it? All of us, most of the people are seeing in that level. But if you study the Upanishads, and if you get some understanding from there, some realizations from there, you will see that world was not existing. What was existing first was that pure consciousness, Bodham. Bodham is what existed first time, not the world. It is the opposite way the whole thing is. And from that bodham, which is like a fire, a big fire burning, from that some sparks came out. That bodham is the consciousness, in other words. From there some sparks came in the form of mind, intelligence and senses, everything. And that same bodham or consciousness, from there which the mind came, the senses came, intelligence came, and all other subtle body has manifested from there, and through them we started seeing this body. That means only after the mind has manifested and the senses have manifested, the body has come into existence. After the mind, body, senses have manifested, through them the soul has experienced the world. This is the Vedantic theory. Vedantam is very firm about this. Consciousness is the beginning, not the world. You can imagine what an ignorance we are living in this world. We are saying the world was existing, we came here, the body existed. Inside that body there is a mind, and inside that mind, intelligence and all, there is a thing called a soul, unknown soul. But from Vedantam, Upanishad's knowledge is, first existence is the consciousness or the soul, that is what existed all the time. And from that consciousness came out the mind. Anirvachaniya Shakti, that is how it is referred to, undefinable. You cannot define that thing called the mind. Mind came out. From that came the senses and the gross body. And the gross body. So after the senses and the gross body has manifested, this consciousness from whom all these things have come out, that consciousness started emitting through these senses and through the body to the world outside and started experiencing this world. This is how the Upanishads talk about us. So, there itself you can see that our perception is completely false. That we are, this is what is called avidya. Avidya is this, that world existing, I am existing, and body is existing, and somewhere soul may be existing or not. Who knows? This is how we see it. Rishis are telling us only soul existing. And when the soul wants to come, it may come up through the mind or the senses to the body, and it will experience something of this, what we call as the world. And in Bhagavad Gita particularly, you will see this. Krishna is driving this very strongly into our head. If you study Bhagavad Gita carefully, you will notice this in different chapters. In the eighth chapter, you will see Akshara Brahma Yogam, where he spoke about that thing. Kshara-purushan, Akshara-purushan, two things he has spoken later on in the Bhagavad Gita. And he also spoke about para-prakriti, apara-prakriti. Always differentiating between the soul and the matter. So he also mentioned there the dependence of apara-prakriti on the para-prakriti. Para-prakriti is manifestation. Apara-prakriti has come from the para-prakriti. Why does he repeat that? Because so that we get rid of this ignorance from our head. That the reverse thing is in our fixed up head, in our head, fixed up idea in our head, isn't it? World exists because that's what we are every day living in this world, thinking that world is permanent. I'm come here for a short period of time and I'm going back. But Upanishads don't see it like that. Upanishads says the permanent thing what exists all the time is consciousness. That consciousness, the soul. And from soul manifest these different energies. Or these different forces like the mind, the senses, the intelligence. And then through the mind and the senses, we perceive the body. And through this body and the senses, we perceive the world. That is how the Upanishad's conclusion is. So Rishis have made us to think about it, to change this understanding of this world first. Krishna repeats the same thing in the Bhagavad Gita also. He spoke about para-prakriti, apara-prakriti. Para-prakriti is the basis. Apara-prakriti is a later thing. And he also mentioned there what is the difference. Praprakriti never changes. Aprakriti is always subject to change. All these fundamentals have to be very strongly taken on board. Otherwise, simply if you make spiritual life just as a matter of having some peaceful time in this world, then all this won't have enough support in our... this will not go very far, the spiritual life. Those who have taken spiritual life in that level of just keeping a peaceful existence in this world, for them, all this is becoming a little not so enthusing, in the sense that they find it not very attractive. But that is not the point. Point is this, that if we genuinely seriously thinking about spiritual life, we have to start accepting what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, all this Bhagavad Gita, what meaning has it got? Krishna is saying to us, Paraprakriti is our real nature, is Paraprakriti. Aparaprakriti is something that has come from Paraprakriti, Paraprakriti which is not permanent, which is always changing. And because it's changing, you can't trust that, anything what's going on in that Aparaprakriti. And Aparaprakriti will one day disappear because it's subject to change. And you only deal with Aparaprakriti to the extent what is necessary. That is the principle. This he spoke in the 7th chapter. In the 13th chapter, you will see Krishna presenting the same thing, Paraprakriti and Aparaprakriti, in a different form. What is that? That is called Kshetra, Kshetrajna, Vibhaga Yogam. Kshetram and Kshetrajna. Kshetram is the body, Kshetrajnam is the soul. Kshetrajna is the soul. So there also, if you observe, you will notice there, if you read that chapter, he started talking about Kshetram. First he speaks about Kshetram. Kshetram is this body. And after saying that, Krishna saying that I have spoken to you, Arjuna, about this Kshetram so that you will leave this Kshetram and understand the Kshetrajnan inside. Kshetrajnan is important, not the Kshetram. Kshetram means the body. Kshetrajnan means the soul. So again, Krishna's point is, just like before he said, that leave the Kshetram, don't bother about the Kshetram so much. And if you look at Krishna's description of Kshetram, Kshetram means the body, it is so different than the way the doctors and the medicine will describe our body. You can notice that also. That we'll talk about it when you come to that chapter, 13th chapter. What is important here is that Krishna is telling us that don't waste all your time on all these kind of studying this Kshetram. You will never get anywhere with this studying Kshetram. So Kshetrajnan is important. In order to take our attention to the Kshetram, Kshetrajna, Krishna, what Krishna does is first he talks about Kshetram, the body. And in a few verses he finishes that. And then immediately after that, what does he do? He starts talking about the process by which your attention is taken to the Kshetrajnan inside. Kshetrajnan inside. So repeatedly Krishna is going on with the same thing and spoken in different ways so that somewhere our attention will move towards the soul. This is the purpose behind it. Later on in the 15th chapter, you will see again Krishna is talking about the yoga of the Supreme Person, that chapter, Purushottama Yogam. There he talks about Kshara-Purusha, Akshara-Purusha. We are Kshara-Purusha and Krishna is the Akshara-Purusha. And so this moving from Kshara-Purusha to Aksharam, or from Kshetram to Kshetrajnam, or from Aparaprakriti to Paraprakriti, this is spiritual life. This is spiritual life. If these things are not taken seriously, and if we do not assimilate this understanding deeply inside, then what will happen? Our spiritual life will be centered around a few stories and a few I don't know what to say. It will go on like this, day after day after day. Yeah. Bhagavad Gita was not spoken with that purpose. Bhagavad Gita was spoken. Bhagavad Gita is knowledge. Bhagavad Gita is not interested in creating problems for us. If that was the intention, Krishna wouldn't have spoken Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita's intention is that Krishna is telling us that, look, this is how the situation is. And in our deep ignorant level, we are accepting so many wrong principles in life as truth. And we do not take Krishna's words very seriously. So that is why spiritual life is a long journey. It is a very, very long journey. So the first thing when one comes to spiritual life is first that desire itself, if it develops in a person for proper spiritual life, you must consider that as very, very fortunate. So I mentioned this also in order that to happen, that first thing, normally it doesn't happen very easily. It has to go through a lot of, what do they call it? Just like you put the iron into the fire and the iron gets heated, isn't it? At that time you can hammer on the iron, it will take some shape. So that kind of condition, that kind of treatment is necessary. Material nature does that to us. Material nature pulls us through so many difficult situations in life. Distress is and misery in this world. So our thinking becomes a little bit more purer in our way of thinking. Otherwise this ahambhavam or ahangaram inside will not allow the spiritual realizations to get in. It won't come inside. So so gives enough distress in some form, and that will develop a breakup from the attachment to the objects of this world. That is the advantage of that distress. That is why in the Yoga Vasishtam it will say that tasma dukkham na garhayed. When distress comes, one should not condemn distress. One should not condemn distress, because that will lead to a better life or better understanding of life. Whatever we may say, at the end of the day, you may be thinking that oh, so many people, young people are taking to spiritual life and all that. But the way they have taken, they can leave it also in the same way. It will not go in a deeper level. The reason being that being fascinated by, attracted by some things in spiritual life, sometimes people do come to spiritual life. But that genuine and intense inquiry and spiritual pursuit won't happen till that distress comes in life. It is a fact of life. If you look into any devotee's life, you will see this happened practically in everyone's life. All those great souls who have come like that, starting from Valmiki himself, from then on, and Narada Maharshi, and many others since then. It was that distress that has driven them closer to Krishna. Closer to Krishna. So, therefore, we talked about that the plenty of distress in life, and at one stage in life, that when you look around everywhere, there is only misery in life. Misery in life. So that is when the inquiry begins. That's why in the to present this in the Upanishads, what they have done, they have talked about that two birds sitting on the tree. It is purely to make this understanding to us, to get it clear to us. You know that story, isn't it? This two birds says, Dvasubarna Saija Sakhayam Samana Vriksham Parishasya Jade Tayoranyam Pipala Swadvati Anashnanyo Abhijagashiti. That verse from Upanishads, Krishna has taken that and put that into Bhagavadam. And you will see in the 11th, it is in the 11th canto, 11th chapter, you will see that verse. Little, very little difference. Samana Vriksham Parishasya Jado. So here, you will see here that Dvasubarna Saija Sakhaya Samana Vriksham Parishasya Jade Tayoranyam Vipala Swadhyati Anasnanyo Abhijagashiti Samana Vriksho Purusho Nimagno Ishaya Shojadi Mukhyamanam Jushtam Sada Pashyat Abhishamanya Mahimana Sidi Vita Shokaha Yada Pashyaha Pashyade Rukma Varnam Kartaram Isham Purusham Brahma Yonim Tada Vidwan Punya Babe Vidhuya Niranjanam Paramam Samyu Upaiti. This is from the Mundaka Upanishad. From Mundaka Upanishad, this has come. These verses. Mundaka Upanishad, this has come. These verses. This verse is in the Mundaka Upanishad. Krishna has taken that and spoken to Uddhava also about the same thing. So he mentions there the that story of the, we have talked about that when we were discussing Bhagavatam also, isn't it? We may have taken that just as a story, like the two birds are sitting on the tree, one bird is but there's a lot into that story. This, why that story was spoken? To tell us that our samsara gati, our material life in this world, how it matures over lot of years in this world through various experiences. So two birds are sitting there, and they are sitting, and both of them are there, golden color, suvarna varnam, it says suvarna, both are looking very golden color. So in due course of time, one bird left the other one. What was the reason for that? By chance, when he was, one of them found a fruit in the tree close by and had bitten that fruit. When that bitten that fruit, it found some taste for that fruit. Taste for the fruit. So as soon as he found the taste for that fruit, he left the other bird and started moving. That is when the movement started. That's when the movement started. One bird started leaving the other bird. And so as soon as it's bitten the first fruit, its color changed. It has become a little black color. That means that golden color what it had before, it has changed. Just like the change of color, just like you can see these copper pots. If you nicely polish them and keep them, after a while they'll develop a greenish color only, because what scientists call as the oxidation, or whatever they call copper in conjunction with the oxygen, it will change its color. So similarly, there was a change of color for this bird when it started moving away from the other bird, and it kept on jumping from one branch to another branch, and kept on finding more and more fruits which were sweet, much were sweeter. And as much as it was going on eating these fruits and moving away, the color was changing. And at later date, they could see that this bird has the same color as the other one, because it has completely changed its color. So so never you could remember that the bad bird has a golden color once. You could never think about that the bird had a golden color. Just like in the Padmanabha temple in Thiruvananthapuram, where they had found this treasure, the temple is, deity is made of gold. But for so many years, nobody knew that, because what they did was they painted it with black. Some mixture of oil with some black charcoal powder or something, in order not to attract the attention of the crowd, of those who had other wrong interests. So so everyone thought that the deity is made of black stone, because they painted it with the charcoal and the oil. And it was only by accident, this has happened long, long ago, only by accident, a couple of years ago, while they were cleaning the deity, the paint came off, the black color and the black coating came off, and they started seeing the gold behind it. And then they realized it, that the whole deity is made of gold. So similarly, because it is found out now it's gold, now you need watchmen to look after the deity. When it was black stone, when everybody thought it was black stone, you didn't need that. But now that it has become gold, it requires people to guard all the time, to guard the deity. So, and they have still a lot more to clear up the deity. The deity is so big, to clean the deity, to prove that it is, to know that it is gold. So similarly, this bird also, which changed its color in due course of time. So by chance, while he was eating these sweet fruits, he ate one fruit which was a little bit bitter. When he ate that bitter fruit, he felt not so happy. He didn't feel very happy about it. So he found, got a few fruits like that, which he found very bitter. And it was that time he started looking to the other bird. So that bird who was sitting there initially, he was not eating any fruit. He was just sitting there completely satisfied in a peaceful state, undisturbed by everything what was going on inside. And he was still in that same color, golden color. So this bird who has jumped and moved away from the other bird started moving back to him again, going back to him. So while going back again, he finds some sweet fruits and again he jumps. This is our life in this world, isn't it? Constantly eating sweet fruits and bitter fruits and sweet fruits and bitter fruits. When the bitter fruits comes, we look to Krishna. When the sweet fruit comes, we turn away from Krishna. So, so that bird, when he kept looking, he noticed that irrespective of what was going on with this bird, the other bird was always in a peaceful state, undisturbed by anything, completely in a peaceful state. And as soon as he started going closer to him, he realized that as he was getting closer to him, his black color was changing and he was coming back to his original state of that golden color was coming back to him. So eventually he realizes that his actual color is that golden color. And and he started moving closer back to that original form. So these birds, what they are talking about in the Upanishad story, is not actually referring to the birds. It was spoken in a poetical way to explain to us, this is a jiva who is in this material world. When he starts his journey in this world, he begins like this. He experiences happiness and distress and happiness and distress. And he continues to experience this. And at some point, when he receives a lot of distress and misery in life, he turns towards towards Krishna. Otherwise, we won't turn our attention to Krishna. So first thing is that to get that taste for spiritual life, that means some desire inside has to come to turn towards Krishna, In the spiritual language, it is called Shubhecha. Shubhecha means a desire for something to develop in an auspicious way, That means he comes to the conclusion that I had enough of this material life, I have got enough from here, and I've also understood it's all very meaningless what we are doing in this world, and in a deeper level start inquiring from what I am here for or what is the purpose of this life and like that. So so initially there is not pure, the jiva is not pure, he has got a lot of conditioning, but there is a determination inside to know the truth. Some inquiry has begun from inside. So this determination inside that I want to find out the truth, I want to know what this spiritual life is for. So it is not an external decision, but inside he has made that decision. Inside he makes that decision. So it is then that people start inquiring about spiritual life. At that point it happens in various ways. He may go somewhere to some institution, he may get some books from somewhere, or he may go and listen and participate in some program in Satsangam or somewhere, and will hear there something from there. And all these things happens in that stage. This is in the beginning. So it is at that time when you enter into come to the spiritual life, you start inquiry from other people also, and trying to make relationship with people who are also following in the similar path. And you will also see at that point that you will try to have some peace in life, because by now, after wandering in this world for so many years and doing so many different things, you have come to understand that there is practically no happiness here, and there is a genuine interest for inquiry begins at that time. So, and then he participates in different spiritual programs, and at this point there is no knowledge. It has only started. Spiritual life has just started, and started in such a way that he knows the reality of this world, and he is has a inquisitiveness inside. That is that stage. That is a inquisitiveness in the mind at that stage. And then he will start attending classes or attending bhajans or kirtan, or he'll go to temple and sit there, and he'll feel some peace inside from all this association inside. There's a peace inside. But this will come and go. It will not stay very long. That is the problem with these things. It will come and it will go. This is the first step in spiritual life. It is like that. We'll go, and few days or few months we'll go. After a while you'll get bored. You will leave that also. And you'll go to the temple and sit in the kirtan for some time. Enjoy it for a while. You will see this. You can yourself verify what I'm saying is true or not. When you go to kirtanam now, if you go and see, it'll be always young boys and girls sitting there. 40 plus is very rare. Maximum. Maximum you will see 20, 25, 30. Why? They have come like this. They are not even to this extent fried with the life. They are not even fried with the life. But some understanding of spiritual sense, they read some books, or they heard from somebody, or some kind of unhappiness in life could be there. That has brought them there. That's what it is. And it will not start very long. After very few years' time, that will evaporate. It will go. It won't stay. Because it's not based on knowledge. This is the problem. That everything started on a sentimental level, everything attracted by the show, will not last. It cannot last. It will only stay if you take Krishna's word seriously, and if we follow it through all the way through life, and make a firm determination, Krishna is right, and what Krishna says is the truth, and I have no other shelter except Krishna's instructions. This firm conviction won't come very easily. It takes a long time. After getting kicked around a lot in this world, going through a lot of material miseries, only then this realization will come. Otherwise, it's not possible. So, most of us are going through that state. That is why it is like that. So it is only at that time the attention will go from this world towards a person. Jiva will start thinking, how do I become peaceful rather than the world become peaceful? Initially everybody is thinking how to make the world peaceful, isn't it? But after a while you will realize the world is never going to be peaceful. That realization also, it takes time to come. You can see now with these riots and all what happened. Young people are discussing why riots have happened. There is no answer. There's about 10 answers they have given. Different people have given different answers for the riots. But to come to this understanding, no matter what you do in this world, there will be riots. Whatever you do in this world, there will be riots. There will be always this Maya's ways of handling is like that. But that understanding won't come, and so far we are attracted by Maya. There has to be riots also with that. That's the way Maya engages us. But to come to this state where we understand that attention must move away from this world to who I am, that is inquiry. That is proper inquiry. Who am I? Who is participating, witnessing, experiencing everything? So only then you could say that the spiritual life is really begun. Otherwise, spiritual life is just very much a part of the material world. That's part of the material world. This is the first step in the yoga process. So, it is at that time when we go into some institution, wherever you find some trust or faith, and then make some relationship with some people there, and the either in the name of an initiation or in the form of a in the form of some steady sadhana process you will take from there. Initially it is like that. Everyone takes some process of sadhana, except that, or a process of initiation, and he begins his sadhana process in that way. So or some people, depending on which institution you go and take it from there, you'll practice some meditation process, dhyanam. Dhyanam is a meditation, and that meditation either through chanting the holy name or through Ashtanga Yoga process, whichever way it is, dhyanam is practiced. So and we start chanting or we start meditating in a particular form or a particular holy name, and we take shelter of that and try to concentrate, focus our mind and attention on the form or the holy name. So at that stage, initially, when we start practicing all that, there will be a certain kind of emotions and ecstatic feelings can happen in a person. Ecstatic experiences can happen, and it was at that time that you will experience some strong emotions in the form like you involves in because of ecstatic feelings, dancing, and at the same time, sometimes the ecstasy is very high, you could even drop down with the ecstatic experiences in that stage. So it is all necessary, not that it's all rejected. So all these experiences, after a while, everyone will pass through that state. And without that bhakti, it is not possible to go further. It is the beginning. It is there. It has to be there. That means chanting the holy name, the form, deity, worshipping that form, everything, qualities, attributes, everything, discussion about that. This is in the Shastram, it's mentioned as sagunam. Sagunam, nirgunam, that's saguna bhakti. That is the beginning of the bhakti process. So, so in the different devotees, in their advanced state in this process, what will happen is sometimes very fortunate that they will have the vision of the deity whom they have worshipping, through whom they are associating with. And that deity may give them sometimes they will appear in front of the devotee, and sometimes they will disappear also. You will see that in the Bhagavatam also. Sri Narada Maharshi, Dhruva and all that, Krishna has appeared and Krishna has moved away from them also. So at that time, many, many great devotees, they have spoken to the deity whom they have worshipped in whatever form they have worshipped. For example, Vilumangalam used to speak to Krishna in a particular form. That was Vilumangalam's favorite form of Krishna, whom Vilumangalam worshipped. Madhusudana Saraswati worshipped Krishna in a particular form. And he was fond of, and Krishna always appeared in that form in front of Madhusudana Saraswati. Similarly, you will see also Tukaram, Gopalabhatta Goswami, Sanadana Goswami, all of them had a relationship with Krishna in one form or the other. Isn't it? Sanadana Goswami had worshipped Krishna in a Madan Mohana form. Rupa Goswami has worshipped in the Govindaji form. And like that. So, Jiva Goswami in Radha Damodar form. So, these different relationships, different forms, is based on the devotee. Krishna appears to them according to the devotee's desire. How Krishna, yaya dhamam prabhadyande tamstadaiva bhajamyaham. That according to the desire of the devotee, Krishna takes the form for that particular devotee. He will appear manifest in that form. It's throughout history, it is like that. And some devotees are attracted to a particular form at a particular temple. That is the form they have worshipped. Krishna appears to them in that form. Krishna appears to them in that form. Like Tukaram and Namdev, they were all attached to Vithal in Pandharpur. So in that form, Vithal appeared for them to experience Krishna. So what I'm saying is that at a stage in their spiritual life, when they have gone very far, this relationship will happen. But more interesting than that is that as they go further from spiritual and in their spiritual path, as they go further in their spiritual path, you will see that the Absolute Truth Krishna has no problem in appearing any form a devotee wants. In any form a devotee wants. He can appear in any form a devotee wants. There are very interesting stories. Stories means real situations when different devotees have related with Krishna in very, very different forms, and Krishna had appeared in that forms in front of them. In front of them. So, sometimes in order to please the devotee, the deity whom they have worshipped has also moved, walked. The deity has walked. There are instances, you know about this Sakshi Gopal story. The deity walked all the way from Vrindavanam all the way to Orissa, where the Sakshi Gopal temple is there. So, deity has walked. All these things are, when we hear that, we start wondering, is it possible for a deity to walk? Isn't it? This question will always come. Once the question was asked about this, how could a deity walk? Can it walk? That was the question. So this Mahatma said, smiled and told him that, he said, why are you surprised if a deity is walking? Why, what's so surprising about it? He says to him, that he says to this person who inquired, he told him, you are walking, so why the deity can't walk? That was his answer. He says, you are walking, why can't the deity walk? So, why what is so strange about that, he said. So, but this person kept insisting, after all, it is a deity only, isn't it? He said, it's a deity only. So, he says to him, that do you think that you are something different than the deity? That was his question. Are you something different than the deity? Suppose, what will be surprising to you is, suppose you are dead and they have taken your dead body to the burn, to burn in the wherever the god is going to be burned, or the crematorium. When they brought the body there, suppose you got up from there and started dancing. That will be a surprise to you, isn't it? He said. The reason why you were saying that was that we think that if there is Krishna is present inside, therefore this body is moving and doing different things. And what is so if Krishna can get into the deity also in the same way, deity can also move. Where is the amazing, where is the surprise in there? That was the answer to that. But we think that if the deity walks, it is something surprising. But if we walk, it's not surprising. But it will become a surprise. Suppose if you are dead and doctor has given you certificate you are dead, and they have taken your body to the to crematorium, and suppose you got up from the box and started dancing and making a lot of noise there, then it is a shock to you, isn't it? So similarly, it's not surprising at all to Krishna to enter into this gross body, where is it difficult for Krishna to enter into a deity? There is no problem. If Krishna wants to enter into the deity, Krishna can enter into the deity. And deity can walk, deity can speak, deity can do anything what the deity wants. So Krishna can enter anywhere in any situations. Nobody can stop that. And that is the that is where Jadam and Chaitanyam. We are Jadam. We are actually Jadam, five material elements. And it is the same material element that is used for building the deity also. There is no difference. Only difference is because Chaitanyam is inside, the living force is inside, we are thinking that this is something special. But what is important is we don't take notice of that living force inside. We are thinking that the body is doing everything. Body is doing everything. So this is why it is says like that. So in the dhyanam, in meditation state, all these experiences can happen. Many of the Vilumangalam's dhyana avastha, that meditation mode, Madhusudana Saraswati's dhyana avastha, they are not that in our blunt eyes you could see Krishna coming and doing, performing these pastimes, but in their dhyana avastha, in their meditation state, they are experiencing all these things. You will see in the Bhagavadam, அட் த வெரி என் தியானாவஸ்தித தத்கதேன மனசா பஷ்யந்தியம் யோகினோ யோகி சி கிருஷ்ணா இன் த தியானாவஸ்தா இன் தேர் மெடிடேஷன் ஸ்டேட் கிருஷ்ண கர்ணாமிர்தம் வாட் யூ ரீட் விச் வில்லுமங்கலம் ஹேஸ் ரோட் வில்லுமங்கலம் டாக்ஸ் அபவுட் லாட் ஆஃப் கிருஷ்ணாஸ் டிஃப்ரெண்ட் பாஸ்ட் டைம்ஸ் இசன் இட் ஹவு டிட் ஹீ ரைட் தட் இட் இஸ் ஆல் இன் த சமாதி ஸ்டேட் இன் தட் தியான அவஸ்தா ஹீ இஸ் சீயிங் தட் ஆல் திஸ் கிருஷ்ணா ஹேஸ் ஷோன் டு ஹிம் எவ்ரி திங் கிருஷ்ணாஸ் அப்பியரன்ஸ் கிருஷ்ணாஸ் சைல்ட்ஹுட் பாஸ்ட் டைம்ஸ் கிருஷ்ணாஸ் பாஸ்ட் டைம்ஸ் வித் தி கோபீஸ் ஆல் ஆஃப் திம் வில்லுமங்கலம் இஸ் எக்ஸ்பீரியன்சிங் இன் தட் தியான அவஸ்தா அண்ட் தட் இஸ் வாட் இஸ் இன் தி கர்ணாமிரதம் வாட் யூ ரீட் சேம் திங் வித் ஆல் அதர் great devotees also. It is in that state only they will experience that. They will experience that. So, that is what says here that when the initially spiritual life begins, we accept the chanting the holy name and devotee will speak to Krishna whichever way he likes. This is all a part of that process. Devotee's conversations with Krishna. And when the mind becomes more and more absorbed, this forms that has happened inside, manifested form, will disappear. After a while, it will disappear. It is mentioned in the Bhagavadam. If you want to look into the third canto, you will see there. Kapila Vasudev says about this. What happens in the meditation? At some point, that form will disappear from inside. And when the form disappears, when one experiences as some light inside. He mentions there in the Bhagavadam. And normally you can see that light has a connection with Krishna that way, in that way. Three things, the light, the sound and the energy. All three are there. The light, the sound and the energy. You can see Shabda Brahmam mentioned like that. Brahma Jyoti mentioned there. And also the Pranan, which is the Urjam. Or the energy. These three are all originating from the soul. From the soul. They are all coming from the consciousness. And that is why we will not worry too much about our tradition and parampara. I am just talking about general. All keeping into account everything. Yoga process, jnanam process and bhakti process and everything. All these things comes in. That the jnanamargam, those who are performing, they will experience in one way. Yoga Margam, they will experience depending on the process which they are following. So, both light is Brahma Jyoti, realization happens. And also this realization of Shabda Brahmam, sound. And then this Pranan, which Ashtanga Yogis practice it through there also. So, eventually when the meditation gets a much more deeper level, what will happen is, it can develop into only a light. It can be sometime in the form of a light. Sometimes reddish color, sometimes a golden color, and sometimes a pure white color. All these things are the experience of the yogis who follows the Ashtanga Yoga path. I'm saying all that thing is in relationship with this chapter what we are discussing. As I mentioned before, that this universal form chapter has a lot to do with the yoga process. That you will see when you come through this chapter later on. So, when this prakasham or that light what you experience here, yogis experiences all the three kinds of different kinds of lights. Different kinds of lights. Sometimes we say they are all bogus. All this. Nothing is bogus in spiritual life. As much as they will say we are bogus, they are also bogus. Everybody is bogus. It's not bogus. Actually what it is that the process is different. And the results are also is different. Dhyanam, Ashtanga Yogam and all, it's a different process. In there, all these experiences comes. So, the bluish color, bluish light, what they manifest and experience, you will see if you go to Himalayas and all places where great yogis perform, they'll tell you also, and also those who have gone advanced in the yoga process, they will vouch for this, that they had a bluish color light. And that bluish color is what is referred to as Vishnu. Vishnu's form, that is, that blue color. And that nature of that bluish, impact of that bluish light inside, that somebody will get very excited about that. He will start dancing. And that is the way the yogis react to that. Yogis will react to that. You'll sing and dance and things like that. In the reddish color is from there Shakti comes. That means Sri Parvati is, Devi's realization is in that reddish color. That is the reddish color of the experience. And that white color or a Suvarna golden color, that experience is Shiva. Shiva's appearance, that is. So depending on the form they have meditated, those who have meditated on the Shiva's form, they will experience that white color manifesting, white light. Those who have worshipped the Devi or Sri Parvati, they will experience that reddish light. And those who have worshipped the Vishnu form, they will experience the bluish color. So all this color has a relationship with the deity also. With the deity also. So the result is that all three of them get affected in three different ways. Those who are in the Vishnu worshippers or for meditating on the Vishnu form, they experience this in the form of music and dance. And those who are in the reddish, and that is Shakti, and that will be in the Rajogunam stage, the Rajogunam activity. Those who are worshippers of the Shakti, and those who are worshippers of Shiva, there will be more on a peaceful state. There will not have much of a emotions inside, Shanti state. So when we get closer to the deity, when we start worshipping that particular deity in a particular form, different yoga mandalam they are, this will all come and go. This will all come and go. So none of them will stay permanently. Even if you want them to stay, it won't stay. It won't stay. So even if you want to hold them to that, when these realizations happen, it will not be possible to hold it, because none of them are permanent. None of them are permanent. So many, you will notice sometimes yogis will say this, or sometimes devotees also say that, I had this experiences in my spiritual life. They say like that, isn't it? I had this realization, or I have seen this in my dreams. Seen that in my dreams. So even while being awake, vacant situation, people had very interesting experiences. People had very interesting experiences. So many, if you read some of these great souls who had such realization, you will notice what they have spoken. One of them saying that at the very early age in his life, when one sannyasi talks about that in his bedroom when he was lying down, he had the experience of Buddha present in the present there. Buddha's presence he felt very strongly in the room. So after a while it disappeared also. But none of them will stay. None of them will stay. So this is because of that Jiva, the conditioned soul, when it is in his spiritual life begins, it is possible that at some stage he can have this some kind of what they known as divine experiences. Divine experiences. For to see this, you have to read the realizations of many, many great personalities. As I mentioned before, Ravana Maharshis and also Ramatirtha and even Tukaram and many others, they all talk about this, what they have seen, what they have experienced. It's not all one way, one particular form only and in one particular state. It is all there. Ramdas also talks about. Ramdas also says about this. So, it is at this stage, the Jiva is feeling that, oh, I have started becoming some experience of the yoga anubhava. Yoga anubhava means, from that yoga state, you are feeling some kind of satisfaction that you are getting somewhere. It will start experiencing at that stage. So, and you will lose it also after a particular while. Because what normally happens is, when you get some these spiritual experiences, naturally, immediately you feel that you are on a higher level than others. That's the first thing what will happen. And when it happens that way, then you want to take advantage of that. in the world. And this is why if you read Puranas, you will find sometimes the sages saying, some of the sages, that they lost their tapas. They lost their austerities and penances. They lost it. How could you lose it? Because what they have got, they have used it in a wrong way. They have used it in a wrong way. And because they have used it in the wrong way, they have also lost it. This thing can happen. So, later on, when they become realized that they are affected by the influence of the yogic realizations, they'll become more and more sensitive to it, to such distractions, and they'll become aloof from that. And at the same time, when they are cultivating the knowledge of the soul, the chittam, the subtle body inside, will become extremely subtle, to a much more subtle level. And only they will also notice that only if you become in a very, very subtle level that they can experience that the presence of the soul inside, presence of the souls inside. So when when we see the soul's reality, only then there will be some faith will develop inside. As I started today, mentioned in the beginning, that initially we are starting from the darkest point, our journey, spiritual journey, isn't it? What is that darkest state? The world is existing. I am here. Inside me, there is a mind. Inside the mind, there is intelligence, senses, everything. And somewhere there is a thing called a soul. This is how we think about us, isn't it? The world is real for us. World is the only thing that's real. Even the body is not so real as the world, because we think that the body is gone, the world will stay. But from Upanishads, the understanding is everything begins from the soul. From the soul, some unknown, undefinable energy called this mind has come out, and then the senses. From the mind came the senses and this gross body. And with the help of the senses, we are seeing this body. We are experiencing this body only through the senses, isn't it? Only through the senses we are experiencing this body. And only through the senses and the body we are experiencing the world. In other words, world is the last thing, not the first thing. World is the last thing. The first thing is the soul. And from the soul, the mind, intelligence, senses, body, and then the world. At the moment for us, the world, the body, the mind, and intelligence and senses, and then the soul. It's just the reverse way. So if we don't change this thinking, it is difficult to understand that the soul is the most important factor in all these things. So many experiences are there in different books. You can read this. Different personalities in their spiritual journey, what they had experienced at different times in their spiritual life. That is when you notice that this yoga avastha, yoga experiences in their life, what they experienced, each one of them were different. All these are happening at a stage when the realization is not complete. Self-realization hasn't complete. It is in the process. In the Bhagavadam, very specifically, Kapila Vasudeva says to Devahuti Devi that you can meditate. It gives you the form of meditation. Meditate on that form, and that later on he says that form will disappear. Even if you want to hold on to that form, form won't stay. Form won't stay, he says. So that experiences, if you read through their life, you will observe in different people's like that. So what is happening is that mixed with that experiences, if the person is in the mood of goodness, you can say that person is very close to the truth. So at that time what happens is that even if that person has closed his eyes and sat down, immediately he will get a experience of that meditation inside. Dhyanavastha. The word used is Dhyanavastha. Dhyanavastha means that state of meditation. That means as soon as he sit down and close his eyes, immediately he will experience this realization. Immediately he will experience that realization. Dhyanavasthita tadgadena manasa pashyandiyam yogino yasyandam navidasura suraganai devaya tasmai nama. Bhagavadam says, Dhyanavasthita tadgadena manasa. Only in the dhyanam state all these things do happen. So that is what has happened here. What we are talking about, that when a person has performed, executed a lot of spiritual life, either through chanting process or through the process of meditation, somehow or the other, the mind has become very focused. Ekagrata has come. And at that stage, different colors of light, we talked about Vishnu, Shakti or Shiva, which are forms comes. And from there, that will also move away. But when the mode of goodness comes to that state, he will experience a great happiness inside, in the sense that he is very close to the soul, to the point of self-realization at that stage. But what's happening at that time is, the mode of goodness is there, and also this experience of the meditation is also present in him, and he'll feel a great happiness inside. Anandam. Sachidan Anandam, which comes from the soul. That is how. And you will see this many devotees spoken about. Taimanava speaks about that also. So he says, wherever I look, there is only light present. There's only light present. And for them, it is not anymore an effort to go into meditation, dhyana. They can sit somewhere, as soon as they close their eyes, they will go into samadhi state. They'll go into that samadhi state. So, so here, what the problem is, that the some people, you can see, that in order to live that life, one has to have restriction on the diet, on the food, eating habits, very controlled diet, controlled life. So, and living alone in solitude. And if they are not putting a lot of faith in their effort, there are people who don't put a lot of effort in their faith in their effort. If they don't do that, they will experience that for some time. Quite some time they'll have that state. They will have that state for some time. You see, actually what happens is, whenever in spiritual life, whenever we put our faith in our effort, everything goes. You can yourself try this. As soon as you think that you are doing this, it's my effort that is bringing the result, you will see your spiritual life is not moving. It is stagnant. It stays there. So that is where the problem is, that our faith is in our effort. All our faith is in the effort. Therefore, what happens is, because we have put all our faith in the effort, it will go and destroy whatever that is coming from Krishna's mercy. When we are surrendered and continue our practice of spiritual life, sometime Krishna's mercy is coming. But as soon as the false ego takes over, and we start thinking it's by my effort I got here, where I am now, just like they say, materially say, isn't it? They say, I worked very hard and I got where I am today, they say like that. You can't say that in spiritual life. In material life, everybody says like that, isn't it? I worked all my life and I got where I am now. People talk like that. Only sometimes when you hear that, you just wonder, where have they got? At the end. So people talk like that, isn't it? That they worked very hard and they got where they are today. Big business people, they talk like that, isn't it? So, but if that mood comes to spiritual life, you will see that instead of moving up, you'll be going down the opposite way. It goes. Why? Because that's where our false ego comes and takes control and not allow that Krishna's mercy to come through. Mercy to come through. And it is the most difficult conditioning in us, that we have got conditioned like that in our material life, to think everything that I've done it, I got it. I've done it, I got it. And we bring that into spiritual life also, and we start identifying with spiritual life in the same way. And that's where all the problem starts. So wherever, whatever little progress you are making in spiritual life, that goes with this powerful force that comes from the mind. Powerful force that comes from the mind. So, and they give the example that you can see the dead body, if you put it in the water, it floats. Isn't it? It floats. But as soon as you think that you have to save yourself by swimming or by floating in the water, and therefore the body with life in it, it goes down. It goes down. What is the reason? Because the body which has got life in it, it tries to escape. It tries to escape. That is why it's sinking. That's why it is sinking. Otherwise, suppose there is no life in that body. Nobody is taking responsibility. It just floats in the water. So practically what I'm saying is that it is that false ego is giving the trouble to us, all of us. It is that is giving the trouble to all of us. So once that false ego goes away, then which means that kartatva buddhi, I am the doer, if that goes away, then all that exists remains is peace. All that remains is peace in a person. So this dhyanavastha, what Krishna is talking about, yoga avastha also, it will last for quite some time in some people. As soon as they sit down and close their eyes, they will feel that peace inside. In other words, as soon as they stay quietly and close their eyes, no chitavritti will happen inside. So pure it becomes, the heart free from all kinds of thoughts developing inside. But such people who don't have any desire to go further, they don't have any desire to go back also, so they can stay in that state for quite a while. And in course of time, if you stay like that, in due course, it will come to a perfectional stage of realization of the truth. They are not very far from self-realization. So, but quite often, they'll fall down from that state. And why? Because first problem is that jiva, the conditioned soul, finds very difficult to accept something. It has this force, urge inside that I am the doer, and it is only due to my effort everything is coming. This will not leave us very easily. This will not leave us very easily. So it is at that time, as soon as that thought comes, the mind will cheat you. Mind will take control of everything and you will lose the whole thing. So, so it is at that time you will start thinking that I've reached that state, now I have to go further from now. And so you will go and ask somebody some doubt about it, and he will create some doubts in your mind and he will let you go. He will create more problems for you in spiritual life. So, otherwise we will destroy it by our effort, So when that desire goes away from inside, when false ego is not touching our effort in spiritual life, in a natural way, the next progress happens in a spiritual path. It's what's blocking everything is our own false ego from inside. I have to do it, I have to do it. This thought becomes very strong inside. So that is where you can see in many of the great personalities in spiritual life, after a certain stage in their spiritual life, when they have understood this secret of spiritual life, they will never talk to you anymore about your effort in spiritual life. They won't talk to you about the putting the effort in spiritual life. Why? Because they know very well it is not that effort. It's better not to blow this up very strongly in a person about the effort side of it. So it is at that time that when all these experiences are coming through, one start realizing that the source of all these experiences is the soul. Is the soul. It is from the soul all these experiences one have in their spiritual life. And it is at that time that he realizes that knowledge, mercy, peacefulness, all is continuously flowing from that source, which is the soul. And little by little, when the false ego, see, when we say jiva, what does jiva mean? Jiva means this false ego. That's all it is. Jiva means the false ego. Okay, when you talk in a spiritual language, you will say Vishnu Tattva, Jiva Tattva and all that. But Vishnu Tattva and Jiva Tattva also is made of the soul, the same consciousness it is. Isn't it? Same consciousness it is. In Jiva, because of the influence of the modes of nature and the presence of the false ego inside, he is conditioned and he is called a Jiva. But once these things goes away from him, from Jiva, the false ego goes away, in quality he is as good as the pure consciousness which has come from Bodham or consciousness. So this is where then he start realizing that the pure I, the soul, self, is different from the false I am identifying at the moment as Jiva. Identifying as Jiva. So you will see this statement in other scriptures also, like in the Bible. He says, I am the light, he says there at one point. So in Bhagavad Gita also Krishna says this. If you look in the 13th chapter, you will see a statement there in the 13th chapter. Krishna is saying there,
Jyotisha abhidat jyoti tamasaparamuchyade jnanam jnayam jnanagamyam kriti sarvasya nivishtitam. Jyotisha abhidat jyoti tamasaparamuchyade jnanam jnayam jnanagamyam kriti sarvasya vishtitam.
He says he is the source of light in all luminous objects. He is beyond the darkness of matter and is unmanifested. Verse 18. 13, chapter 13.
Jyotisham abhidat jyoti tamasaparam uchyate jnanam jnayam jnanagamyam kriti sarvasya nishvishtitam.
Krishna says he is a source of light in all luminous objects. He is beyond darkness of matter and is unmanifested. He is knowledge, he is the object of knowledge, and he is the goal of knowledge. He is situated in everyone's heart. So while discussing about the soul, how do we express about the soul? That is the most difficult thing, isn't it? That is why Krishna is saying the soul is also present in the form of light. Soul is also present in the form of consciousness. Soul is also present in the form of sound. And soul is also present in the form of energy, pranan, in the body. Yeah. But why do we give importance to this consciousness? Because that is something what you are always experiencing. The manifestation of the light, jyoti, is not experienced at the moment. Manifestation, the sound, is also not experienced at the moment. The paranadam, what Krishna refers to as Shabda Brahmam, that we are not experiencing at the moment. Nor are we experiencing the pranan, energy. We know there is energy, but our understanding now is we are eating food, and therefore I've got strength to work. Isn't it? This is how we have, in a gross level, we have understood it like that. But the energy, that conversion of energy from the food to pranan and ability to function for all the senses to act, that conversion only if Krishna does it, it will work. Otherwise it won't happen, isn't it? We can only eat food, but it's not guaranteed that it will manifest in the body in the form of pranam, in the form of energy. So
because none of them are as clear as consciousness, we say consciousness is the presence of the soul for that reason. Otherwise, the light, presence of the light, presence of the sound, presence of the consciousness, presence of the energy, they are all representation of the soul, presence of the soul inside a body, inside a body. So none of these things, when you are in that state, that Krishna says that jnanam yayam jnana gamyam, isn't it? He is present in everyone's heart, and Krishna is present in everyone's heart means what? It means that he is present there in these three, four different ways, that the bodham, consciousness, is there, and the existence, I am present, astitvam, it is called my reality of existence, in the form of knowledge, in the form of experience, and always being aware, I am, I am, I am. That awareness, it is that state that he is trying to realize that truth. He is trying to realize the truth. So, either in a natural way or by Krishna's mercy at that point, we may have the good fortune of hearing about the Upanishads, hearing the Upanishads. When I say hearing Upanishads, means hearing Bhagavad Gita also. It is a part of the Upanishads, isn't it? So none of them before this. Now, if you look back into our own spiritual life, you can see, in the beginning, we don't give any attention to any of these things, isn't it? What do we give attention to? We give attention to the sadhana, what we were given to us, sadhana process. Or we will give attention to associate with people where you find comfortable, where you are comfortable with. That means similar habits and similar cultivating in the spiritual knowledge. Why we seek association? Because you feel that in their association you can interact with them easily. But that is in the early stages in the spiritual life. As we go further, you can notice that, and the understanding of the soul becomes more prominent inside. All those factors are not important anymore. All those factors are not important, provided this desire inside for cultivation of knowledge has become stronger inside. So, earlier stage, it is only like this, in this relationship, that we have a relationship. That relationship is with the deity in the temple. We will all go there in the morning, spend half an hour or 1 hour. And what everybody is doing, we will also do the same thing. What we understand or not, it's, if everybody is swinging, I'll also go and swing with the deity. Because everybody else is doing, so I should not be second, and I should be doing the same thing like them. So I'll also do the same thing. And as a matter of fact, the understanding is like that. It is in that level. And if you look at yourself, when you have entered the temple and when you came out of the temple, has anything practically changed? Nothing has changed. Only you have done that as another aspect of your part of the life. I've been to the temple, I've done that. That's all. It finished with that. And then next day again came back to the world and continue with the business in the world as usual. But in spiritual life, what Krishna is saying here is, this is why Bhagavad Gita, if you take it seriously, it will do a lot of good in life. That because whether temple or no temple, whether there is community, no community, wherever we are, in all situations, if we have to have some shelter, that's only Krishna and Krishna's words, nothing else. Everything else will come and go. They cannot stay. And so from there you can see, when you take Krishna's word seriously, you will notice these things, that initially all this fascination is necessary. We don't say that it's not necessary, because to get someone to spiritual life is not easy. It's very, very difficult. First of all, you have to answer all his million questions before he comes to spiritual life. Isn't it? He'll have millions of questions. And then he'll say, you convince me, he will say. And he doesn't want to get convinced on anything. And that is the state where they start their spiritual life. So when it is like that, all these, this is known as Kriya Kalapa Bhakti. Kriya Kalapa Bhakti means people have attraction for music, people have attraction for dancing, people have attraction for different opulences in life. So bhakti process helps in all these things to bring that person somehow closer to spirituality. And if he comes and associates in that way, why if he has Krishna's mercy and if his prarabdham is also not too bad, it is possible that he will one day start becoming some serious inquiry will develop inside. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So, therefore, Kriyakalapa Bhakti, that's the word Bhagavadam uses. Kriyakalapa means a lot of activities and a lot of noise you have to make. So, you can't blame anyone for any of these things. Krishna has put everybody in different situations. And everything is necessary in this life, in this world. If there is nobody going out on Harinam, nobody going out and performing all the Radhayatras and everything, how will people come to know? That's also necessary in this world. All activities are necessary in spiritual life at different levels and different people. So none of them is to be criticized. They are all accepted from the spiritual path, from spiritual point of view. Depending on one's qualification and one's seriousness in spiritual life, he will inquire further. Some people will remain in that state that satisfies their spiritual needs. And many instances you will see when it comes to realizations, and their faith also can get disturbed when there is some reverses in life. Serious reverses in life happens. It can disturb their life. So it is only rare thing that Krishna is saying here in the Bhagavad Gita that the inquiry, when it starts genuine and it becomes serious, at that time he starts inquiring, who is this person inquiring after? And knowledge of the soul. So in a natural way, automatically from inside, that inquiry will begin. And who is this jiva? What is the nature of the jiva? And only then, I'm not this body, I'm not this mind, I'm not this intelligence. All these things will become a little bit more clear at that stage. Otherwise, normally a person who is very busy in this material world, in different activities also, even if you tell him that I'm not this body, he will also say I'm not this body. But in actual realizations, it doesn't go very deeper level. So, that is what this is of. So, egameva dvitiyam nehavanasti kinchana. So, without nanatvam, nanatvam means this variegatedness, that asti bhadi priyam, that means these three things, that I am existing, that is astitvam, and that means the spiritual nature of the eternity, blissfulness and knowledge. Astitvam bhadi priyam. Priyam is that happiness, that is blissfulness coming from the soul, our eternity of our existence, and bhadi, that means this knowledge inside, knowledge of the self. And this will happen only very rare in people, these kind of situations. So very rarely it will happen, and even if it happens, it will happen for a short time, and once we come to vyavaharam, to transactions in this world, we will still experience ragadvesham in this world. Ragadvesham will come, attachment and aversion will still happen. And it will happen again, and it will take different forms. And these people will understand, those who have heard a lot, they will understand this, what that means. That means, you have practiced your spiritual life, and you have become a little bit more internal, inward-looking nature has built up quite a long period of time. And then you will still notice that while dealing with this world, sometimes ragadvesham developing inside, vyavaharam. In vyavaharam, ragadvesham will develop. And when that ragadvesham develop, you will notice that it is still happening even after going very far in the spiritual life. afterwards, it is not possible to explain that more, because it is something to be experienced in life. On the one hand, you are cultivating spiritual knowledge, spiritual understanding, and a lot of acceptance also inside. And suddenly, you lose everything and you go in this world, in vyavaharam, and you completely act in a way totally opposite to what you have heard. When this happens, you will naturally start thinking yourself, why it has happened. But that is the way spiritual life is. it takes a long time to lose all that side of it. In other words, that Krishna is saying that you will notice this yourself, within yourself, that these things are not staying with me, they are coming and going. They are coming and going. So this coming and going nature is because we haven't touched the truth yet. We are somewhere on the way. So, as soon as you come to Viharam state, it will move again. But continuously by cultivating spiritual life, that suddenly you will notice one day that this is a very, very gradual thing. This is the experience of the yogis and the jnanis. They talk about this. Devotees don't say about it very much. Reason is that in devotional life, you don't give any importance to any of these things by surrendering to Krishna. That's why it's not discussed so much, these things. But jnanis and yogis will say this, that what they have noticed in the beginning, that they notice that they are getting realizations, but as soon as they move to Vyavaharam, transactions in this world, they are losing everything. They are unable to recognize that they have lost that understanding to such an extent, and they had acted in a way which they are not never thought that they will do again. It happens to them like that. But what happens is, when one is in that state, if a person has practiced it for a long time, he will notice a clear difference between his state of experience in the spiritual life and his state of experience in the Vyavaharam. So either he will withdraw from Vyavaharam to a large extent in order to save himself. He'll withdraw from Vyavaharam as much as possible. Or he'll become extra cautious in the Vyavaharam. He'll become very extra cautious in the Vyavaharam stage, in the transactions. But as he continues and as he experiences more of the spiritual experiences, what happens is one day the soul on its own starts illuminating through the senses to the world outside. That means a stage comes when he never gets disturbed again due to the presence of that spiritual experience, the presence of the soul. So that light, what we spoke about before, Krishna is talking about Jyotishama Visarvesham, that Jyoti, that will start coming through the senses to the world outside. It will start coming out through the senses. And that experience, what you have only in the meditation or only while chanting the holy name, that state will start manifesting through the senses even in the Vyavaharam stage. That's what happens. We are now talking about two different processes. But the experiences what the yogi goes through or the devotee goes through or the jnani goes through, they are all same. In their early realizations, they will experience this, that they only have it during their, just like devotees say, when I am chanting, I am having complete peace of mind. But when you finish chanting and you have started your Vyavaharam in this world, all peace of mind is gone somewhere. And then all the botheration and headache of this world takes over. So, but as much as we chant the holy name, from a devotee's point of view, as much as we chant the holy name and the progress and the chanting becomes very intense and surrendered way, Krishna says like that in the Bhagavad Gita, he surrenders to Krishna and the chanting progresses, a stage will come, attraction for Vyavaharam will go, or even if there is some Vyavaharam has to be done, it will not disturb us to that extent. But finally a stage comes, the chanting becomes so powerful that realization from chanting will come out through our senses to this world that nothing will disturb a person anymore. That is a very advanced state of a devotee. Similarly, for the jnani, the same way, his realization of the soul, one day the soul will come out through that, through the senses to the world, and then he has no more problem with the world. Problem is due to this dual life, on one side spiritual side and the other side Vyavaharam. But one day Vyavaharam has to change its form and get spiritualized by the presence of the soul. So that is what it says. So the, here you can see, so Ramdas talks about that when he went into a cave for 29 days, he stays in a cave in a hill, and he was chanting Ramchandra's name, Rama Rama. He chanted that. And after chanting for a 29 days continuously, he was chanting. 29 days continuously he was chanting. Actually, you can see this. If you want to have a very, very powerful spiritual experience like that, chanting the holy name continuously for a certain number of days or months, continuously, completely withdrawing from this world, if you do it, you will see the result also happening. It will be have a powerful effect on you. There is no doubt about that. You can see this. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was chanting for 7 or 10 years after he left home, and he wanted, before he started his preaching activities, for 7 or 10 years he was chanting every day, all day and night, continuously chanted the holy name. Why? Because from there you can see the result was that the strength that has come from inside, the powerful nature of the soul start manifesting through that person in that way. Then generally we have a tendency that anyone who has become spiritually very powerful in this world, normally we will say, oh, he must have come from Vaikuntha, he must have come from there. It's not like that. It doesn't, we give, they are all like us. There's nothing that they have. But what has done, happened was that they have done the thing right. That's what it is. That is what it is. Like I mentioned this, or Prabhupada also, we say the same thing, isn't it? Eventually, to make our life easier, what we do? We say, oh, he is an incarnation. Oh, he is a Shakti Avesh avatar, or this avatar, that avatar, we say about them. And we, by saying that, we gives us an excuse not to do anything. That's what happens all the time. But if you look into their life, what they have gone through in this world, what made them what they are, you can see that they had taken Krishna consciousness so seriously. That's what it is. There's nothing more to it than that. We don't know about their previous life. We don't know. Nobody knows. So to say that they are incarnation of this, incarnation of that, it is very easy. That's how so many incarnations have come up like this. But many of them, if you look, but really advanced personalities will not fall into that. They will not accept that. They will say that this is what they have done. They have taken Krishna's message very seriously. The process is there in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, okay, Prabhupada spoke about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he is a Vaikuntha man, he said. In other words, so serious he was in spiritual life, Prabhupada could only see it like that he is a person from Vaikuntha. In that sense, he spoke like that. But not that Prabhupada knew that, or he's met him in Vaikuntha before, said, so I knew him there. That's not on that basis he's saying that. He's only saying that on this understanding, that that realization is so high that he has that Vaikuntha qualities in that person, in the person. Same thing about Prabhupada also, the same way. Anyway, beside the point, if you see all the great souls in the spiritual traditions, no matter which, wherever you go, you will see their commitment is so great, so deep-rooted, that they have accepted and they have executed that austerities and penances, what was necessary for that. Ramdas talks about this. He spent 29 days in the cave by chanting Rama's name day and night, continuously. And when he came out, wherever he looked, he saw there's only Rama everywhere. Now, psychologist says, well, he has gone a psychotic case, you can call like that. But that's another side. But Rama's experiences, he says that in the, if you look into his books, he will note mentions about that. As soon as he came out of the cave, one person was walking through the street and he was carrying a bunch of firewood on his head. He went and held him tight. He got so frightened seeing him, somebody coming and giving you a hug like that, powerful hug. So, and he started chanting Rama's name with him. With that person holding him, kept on chanting, Rama, 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 he was chanting. And that person got frightened hearing or seeing all these things. And he dropped his firewood, everything on the floor. And he started trying to escape from him, but he won't leave him. He kept him very tight. Like this kind of experiences, people have spoken about that. Ramdas story, if you read, you will see this. Swami Ramdas saying about this, what happened to him. So, so he ran away, and for him, he saw everywhere Rama's presence in everyone. And that is, and he experienced Rama's presence everywhere. Rama's presence everywhere at that stage. And that is a kind of universal form. That's a kind of universal form. Experiencing Krishna everywhere. Experiencing Ramachandra everywhere. And that is the universal form. So in other words, whatever you are seeing in this creation is all Krishna's manifestation. That experience. That experience. So this is also an experience of yoga. Yoga anubhavam, that is. Yoga anubhavam. You will see, ihaigastam jagal. If you look into this, we'll go into this chapter little later. But if you look into this 11th chapter, 7th verse, you will see there. Ihaigastam jagal krishnam pashyadyaschacharacharam mamadehe gudakesha yachanyal drashtumichasi. I'll go to the first verse later. I'm saying about this experience, what he was experiencing. Ihaigastam jagat krishnam pashyadyascha characharam mama dehe gudakesha yachanyal drashtum ichasi. Whatever you wish to see can be seen all at once in this body. This universal form can show you all that you now desire, as well as whatever you may desire in the future. Everything is here completely. In other words, at that time, Arjuna is not the same Arjuna who is seeing Krishna. Krishna is saying, now you see and tell me what you are seeing. And that is what Krishna is saying. Ihaigastam jagal krishnam pashyadyascha characharam. Whenever Arjuna has looked in the world, what he is experiencing, that is that verse. Mamadehe gudakesha yachanyal drashtumichasi. Now, it is not that Krishna, Arjuna looked at Krishna, and in Krishna's body Arjuna was seeing all these things. What has happened is in Arjuna's eyes he is only seeing this, nothing else. This universal form, what Krishna has discussed later on, that is what Arjuna is seeing, nothing else. In other words, the changes happened in Arjuna's eyes, Arjuna's vision. In Krishna's body, no changes happen. Because if you look into the picture, you will think that Krishna has changed his body. Krishna hasn't changed the body. We will perceive it like that. Krishna has changed the body. It is not like that. It is the experience given to Arjuna to see Krishna like that. That all he is seeing is this. That is why he is saying here, see in my body all these things, he says. Mamadehe gudakesha yachanyal drishtumichasi. If you want to see, you can see it, he says. Ihaigastam jagat krishnam. Jagat krishnam. Krishna means completely. Ihaigastam jagal krishnam pasya adyascha characharam. Pasya adyascha characharam. All moving and non-moving things. That as whatever pasya adyascha characharam. Mama dehe gudakesha yachanyal drishtumichasi. And he says here, by the mercy of Krishna, Arjuna is able to see everything. Krishna gives him the power. If you look at the purport, Prabhupada is writing there. No one can see the entire universe sitting in one place. Even the most advanced scientist cannot see what is going on in other parts of the universe. Krishna gives him the power to see anything he wants to see, past, present and future. Thus, by the mercy of Krishna, Arjuna is able to see everything. So, it is not the change in Krishna and Arjuna is seeing it, but it is Arjuna's vision that has changed. Like Yashoda's vision has changed. Mahabali's vision has changed. So, the changing our vision or Arjuna's vision, that's what Krishna has done there. Arjuna's vision has changed. Ihaigastam jagal krishnam. So, yoga anubhavam is like that. Experience of yoga is like that. Nothing in the world will change. We change. You see? That is the most important thing. Nothing in the world will stay as it is. It has its own flow, its own way it will go. The change happens in us. That is the principle of spiritual life. Change happens in us. not in the world. And if we resist change all the time and try to change the world, what will happen? One day you will feel disappointed. That is when you start saying that nothing has changed, nothing has changed. I have chanted so many years, nothing has happened. I have studied Bhagavatam so much, nothing has happened. Still nothing is happening. So this is our mistake, that we are always thinking that something will change in this world, but the change has to happen within us. Within us. So that is why, Ihaigastam jagal krishnam, pasya adhyascha characharam, mama dehe gudagesha, echanyal drishtumichasi. Krishna is saying, drishtumichasi. You can, what do you want to see? You can see that. That's how Krishna puts it. Yachanyal drashtum ichasi. So whatever you want to see, you will see that in me, he says. So in other words, Krishna, according to Arjuna's desire, the form is present. According to Arjuna, what he wants to see, because in Arjuna's mind, Arjuna's thought, there is a concept of Krishna's universal form. And that form Krishna has shown to him. Yashoda Devi has one concept and Krishna has shown that concept to Yashoda. Yashoda, when she is so fast, if you look into Bhagavatam, you will see there, first open the mouth, he says to Krishna. Krishna opened the mouth. Inside that, Yashoda got the shock of her life. All the planets, all the universes, everything. And looked inside very carefully. There's another Krishna standing there and telling his mother Yashoda to look to him. And all this is happening in that small mouth. Imagine a baby who is only a few months old has shocked Yashoda. But Yashoda has lost all that perception that Krishna is only a few months old. Krishna is only a small baby. And the mouth is small. Time, space, everything gets changed according to the according to Krishna's desire. So Krishna wanted Yashoda to experience what is this universal form. And Yashoda was thinking about this, that all these things I am seeing, and what is this all happening? And Yashoda is getting the greatest shock in her life. And that is how Yashoda experienced that. And Mahabali, how did he experience? Mahabali, when he looked at Vamanamurti, Vamanamurti showed the universal form. What did Vamanamurti do? Vamanamurti put the right foot up and it went up to all the planets it started going through and reached the right at the top of the heavenly planets. It went and touched there. So in other words, from the top of the heavenly planets all the way right up to the earthly planet, everything started becoming visible to Mahabali. And similarly with the next foot, right up to Sudalam, Pada, Adalam, Vidalam, Sudalam, Rasadalam, Padalam, Taradalam, all of the lower planetary system. So when Vamanamurti put one foot down and one foot up, Mahabali is seeing from the topmost planet to the lowest planet. Everything in the three planetary system was in Mahabali's eyes. And Mahabali got complete shock, just like Yashoda Devi got the shock. But nothing was happening. Practically, it is that experience what Mahabali had or Yashoda Devi had, and the same way Arjuna had at this moment. So, Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, when they talk about universal form, if we remember these things, you will notice that it is that experience of that devotee. Arjuna wanted to experience and Krishna gave the experience to him in that. Ihaigastam jagal krishnam. So, all these things what you have spoken is an introduction to from what we are now going to talk about in the next verse. In other words, all this creation and everything what we are seeing here, the whole universe itself, Krishna is saying, I am that. I am that. It is difficult for us to understand that, isn't it? Because all what we know is what we see through the senses. That's what we are used to it. So, Sarvam Vishnumayam Jagat. Sarvam Vishnumayam Jagat. There is only Vishnu. The word Vishnu itself means Vyapanashilam. Vyapanashilam means Krishna is expanded, Vishnu is expanded, and that is this world. That is this world, what we call as the world. It's not that we have to make it easier for us. This creation process is spoken in the Bhagavatam, in the third canto. Sometimes when we read that, because we can only understand things in a particular way due to our own impure nature inside. Because for us, everything has to be created in a particular way.
and it has to be put in a particular place, in a particular time. We are interested in the details, isn't it? That is how we are. We like the details of things like that. When was this created? How old is this planet? People are inquiring all the time. Similarly, they will go to other planets to find out when they were created. And we think that we have got knowledge of all these things. But because we do not know that from the Vedic, the sages have gone through all this before. That is why they have come to these conclusions. They always say about that Vishnu, everything is Vishnu. There is a verse, Jale Vishnu, Stale Vishnu, Vishnu Agasham Uchyade, Stavaram Jangamam Vishnu, Sarvam Vishnu Mayam Jagat. Jale Vishnu, Stale Vishnu, in water is Vishnu, all the land is Vishnu, Vishnu Agasham Uchyade, all the space is Vishnu. Stavaram Jangamam Vishnu, all that moving is Vishnu, all that non-moving is also Vishnu. Sarvam Vishnu Mayam Jagat. Only Vishnu is present in everything. This is the universal form. This is the universal form. So practically, seeing everything as manifestation of Vishnu is the universal form. Everything also kind of a yoga experience itself. But this will also go. This will also go. It cannot stay. Because while experiencing any yoga experience like that, eventually the body has to go. The body has to go. Body has to go at some point. Because body, while you are trapped in the body, when you are experiencing something, that experience cannot stay. This is the principle. When you are trapped, you see, when you are trapped in the body, everything that you are experiencing based in that body will never be perfect. Will never be perfect. So that is why you will see, jnanis will say this. How do they put in? Na bhumi, na tejo, na vayu. I am not this, I am not this, I am not this. Any of this. They have to discard everything. Why do they say like that? Because the gross body is made of material elements. Isn't it? Material elements. Now, identification with material elements is not very conducive for knowledge of the soul. Knowledge of the soul. When you are limited inside a body, you can only have a realization for a certain period of time. You are not in an eternally realized state. It is not possible at that state while living within this body. So, therefore, what they say is that when you are released from the body, that is when that perfect realization is possible, but some experience is possible while living in this body. And that is why all these universal form experiences are all short time, for a short time, short period of time. After that, they have to come back to the body again. They can't stay in that body and continue to experience that permanently. Krishna will bring you back to your normal original state. What did he do to Yashoda? What Krishna did to Yashoda was, after seeing all this, Yashoda got so worried. Is this my baby? What is happening to him? Immediately, Krishna started crying for the milk. And when Krishna started crying for the milk, that motherly feeling from Yashoda started manifested, and Krishna brought mother Yashoda back to the normal life again. As a mother, motherly feeling started coming from Yashoda, and Yashoda also started feeling that Krishna is my child, because it was necessary. After showing the universal form, Yashoda will think anymore Krishna is my child? How could she think that? Because the experience Yashoda had at that time was something that she started losing her own identity with the body. She started seeing everything from a completely different perception. Because that's what happens, where the body is limiting you, but universal form is taking you to another plane altogether. That's what has happened to Yashoda. And therefore, what did Krishna do to Yashoda? Told Yashoda that I'm hungry for the milk. Give me milk. And he started crying, and immediately all the motherly feeling, affection, everything started pouring from Yashoda. And Yashoda took Krishna back again and started feeding him with milk, and gave all attachment, showing all attachment to Krishna and brought her to the normal state, not Krishna. It is Krishna had to bring her to the normal state. And same thing you will see here in the Bhagavad Gita also. Krishna had to bring Arjuna to normal state. When Arjuna says, after seeing the universal form, that I am got frightened, he says. So Krishna didn't do anything. What did Krishna do? Krishna brought Arjuna to the normal state. Krishna, what Arjuna says to Krishna, that I don't want to see this form. I want to see my old friend with the two-handed form, with the driving the chariot as we were before, he says. Like, Sagedimatva Prasam Yadoktam, there's so many verses there. I like to see that form. But actually Krishna hasn't changed anything. Krishna has changed Arjuna again. So in spiritual life also, nothing will change. The change will happen inside us. So that is the point. That is why that... So... when that realization comes, normally what we lose is that our dvandvam. Dvandvam means duality goes away. It is due to duality we feel this variegatedness in the world, in the creation, isn't it? Na tejo, na vayu, na bhumi, na toyam, na tejo, na vayu. That none of this I am, none of this I am, moving away from all the material elements. So, by the mercy of a great teacher like Krishna, Supreme Spiritual Master, or a great personality, this can happen. This can happen. Either by a great teacher or due to somebody's instructions from outside, one has to come to this understanding that everywhere that is experience is Krishna, Krishna's presence in everything. And this is one of the steps that this particular introduction to universal form is for this purpose. That eventually one has to establish Krishna's presence in everything. To make us understand, Sarvam Vishnumayam Jagat. So at the moment if you tell somebody after Vibhuti Yogam in the last chapter, Krishna spoke about the Vibhuti and told Arjuna, Arjuna, there is nothing else in this world except me, ekam shena stito jagat, he said. So Arjuna still was finding it very difficult. So he thought he'd give a direct experience to him that what this creation means is nothing but Krishna's another expanded form. That is this creation. Every living entity, every moving and non-moving objects in this creation is nothing but Krishna. So for a short period of time, Arjuna got that experience. Now, once you have got that experience, Krishna is saying to Arjuna, Arjuna, this is my presence in this world. Keeping this in mind, always cultivate this realization of Krishna is present in every living entity. So this can help a person that practically what we are seeing in this world is all Krishna's different manifestations in this world. So that therefore, it can help a person who wants to cultivate that knowledge in that process. So, when we say cultivate means to remember this, Ishavasyamidam Sarvam, Yet Kincha Chakatyam Chakat. So, wherever we feel ragam and dvesham in this world, attachment or aversion, if ever it comes up towards anyone, to any name or any form, if he gets attracted or repelled by that, at that time, if we use this knowledge of the universal form, that we should be able to come out of it. If ever, when we, this is the only way, there is no other way to come out of ragadvesham. Wherever we feel ragam or dvesham, wherever we feel some attraction or repulsion anywhere, in order that it does not get inside, Krishna's process is, Krishna is saying to us, Bhagavatam, he put it in a different way. Here Krishna is saying that use this experience of universal form, what was spoken, use that and touch everything with that and establish that Sarvam Vishnumayam Jagat. Everything, there is only Vishnu present in this world. Vishnu is present in this world. So, So, similarly, just like Brahman has taken all the different forms in this world, isn't it? So, Brahman, when we say Brahman, Brahman, we address this as Brahman. What is this Brahman means? Brahman means that all the creation, all the every living entities in this universe, we say Brahman realization, is it not? Brahman realization, we say. Brahma Buddha Prasannatma Nashochadi Naka Amkshadi Sama Sarveshu Bhudeshu Madbhaktim Levade Param. So that Brahman realization Krishna is talking about here, that if you continuously develop that Brahman understanding, that it is Brahman who is present in everything, Sarvakhalidam Brahma Tal Jagal Idi Shantam Upasidam. So everything has sprung from there, everything is staying in that, and everything will eventually get dissolved in that. And everything what we see in this creation, whether it is man, woman, and whom we like, whom we don't like, all of them is only a manifestation of that soul, manifestation of the Brahman. This like ragadvesham has creates this, isn't it? I like somebody, I don't like someone else. And also you feel happy with somebody, you don't feel happy with someone else. And something you enjoy and you feel that it's giving me happiness in life, or I'm enjoying happiness, or some other things in life, it's all creating distress for me. So when it comes to vyavaharam, you cannot apply this straight away. Because if we do that in vyavaharam, somebody will exploit it. Somebody will exploit it. But inside, we have to fix this very firmly. Whatever that happens in this world, in our vyavaharam also, not allow that and to disturb our thoughts. In other words, that inside we should be able to stay peaceful by this understanding that Krishna is present in the friend as well as in the enemy. In both places, it is Krishna who is functioning. And that shanti inside, that peaceful state inside, that is that they call it as sahaja samadhi. They refer to like that. So, even in the vyavaharam state, also, it is Krishna's manifestations, whatever happened. And then, this is the purpose of this Vishwarupa Darshanam. Vishwarupa Darshanam, or the universal form, was shown to Krishna only with this intention. Only with this intention. And up to the 10th chapter, you can see here, Krishna has almost heard everything. Practically, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has spoken most of the things before that 10th chapter itself, isn't it? You can see in the first 5 to 6 chapters, Krishna spoke about the Karma Yogam. And then Dhyanam, he spoke about in the 6th chapter. And in the knowledge, whatever Krishna wants to say, spoke in the 7th chapter. And in the 8th chapter, he spoke about the Akshara Brahma Yogam, which is the process of Ashtanga Yogam. And in the 9th chapter, Krishna spoke about the King of Knowledge, Rajavidya. Rajaguhyam, Rajavidya Yogam. And in the 10th chapter, Krishna spoke about the opulences of the Absolute. So by 10th chapter, Krishna has spoken everything to Arjuna. But it is then that, after this 10th chapter, Arjuna has known, and Arjuna has also understood what he is supposed to do. He is supposed to do. He has understood at that point. So, but Arjuna is feeling that he has not experienced it yet. So it is for the sake of Arjuna's experience that Krishna has given that experience in the form of this universal form. Up to this 10th chapter, whatever Arjuna has heard, Arjuna has understood what is expected of him to do. Particularly, yes, I have mentioned this before also, practically what Krishna wanted to say, he has spoken in the second chapter. If you study second chapter thoroughly, very well, then you don't have to even study the rest of the Bhagavad Gita. So good is that second chapter. Provided you have understood it, understood means you have accepted it completely, as Krishna expected us to understand and to realize it. That's why second chapter is the contents of the Bhagavad Gita summarized. Then some questions came from Arjuna, just like everybody else. Arjuna had questions. He asked questions, and two questions he asked. And Krishna understood that Arjuna need some clarifications. Practically, on our behalf, Arjuna was asking that question to Krishna. So to answer that, he spoke the third chapter. And from some that, from few questions and fourth chapter, fifth chapter, like that came out. But with second chapter, third chapter, fourth chapter, fifth chapter, practically, Arjuna's doubts are over. Why? Arjuna was meant to act in the battlefield. And Krishna has made it very clear that through the process of Karma Yoga, you should execute. That's your business. You do that, everything will be okay. And that's why fifth chapter is over. And then sixth chapter was spoken because Arjuna had other questions to ask. On behalf of us, Arjuna asked that question. Adhivodam, Adhidevam, Adhiyajnam, all that was answered in the sixth chapter. And then Krishna spoke about, at the end of that sixth chapter, Arjuna had further questions and answered in the seventh chapter. In seventh chapter, Krishna spoke about the creation, Paraprakriti, Aparaprakriti, everything. And about bhakti also, he has spoken there, bhakti. Eighth chapter, ninth chapter, we've seen what we have discussed before. And in the tenth chapter, in order to show that whatever Krishna has spoken before is nothing but a manifestation of the soul, and all the vibhutis, great extraordinary things in this creation, is coming from the soul, to convince that, Krishna spoke about the different opulences in the 10th chapter. It was at the end of that 10th chapter, Krishna told Arjuna, whatever you see great, wonderful in this creation, take that, everything is a spark of my splendor. Krishna is saying that. All, nothing but from the soul only. Soul's another splendor, that is what you are seeing there. It was then that, Krishna says, Arjuna had this little problem that he has understood, he has also accepted it, but in the realized state, he is not experienced anything. It is for the sake of practical realization, Krishna showed that universal form to Arjuna. Krishna brought Arjuna under the universal form, in other words, the experience of the universal form. That is how universal form was given to Arjuna. It Arjuna made Arjuna to experience that realization, what he heard before, till then, what he heard about Krishna. So Arjuna wanted to see the whole creation as Krishna's manifestation. As Krishna's manifestations. So, therefore, then Krishna, Arjuna understood that even in Vyavaharam, even in transactions, it is possible to see things like that. Otherwise, Arjuna won't believe it. Arjuna finding it difficult, because just like all of us, we are studying Bhagavad Gita, but till we get some realization from Bhagavad Gita, it will remain still very much a unknown entity. Isn't it? So, so that is what, that is why you will see now in this chapter that when Arjuna saw this universal form, how Arjuna is reacting to that universal form. That is the most important thing. When he is experiencing Krishna's universal form, how he is experiencing it, that is a long description in this chapter. Many, many verses is Arjuna's experience of the universal form. Now, normally a person will think, wow, Arjuna is seeing all these things. That must be amazing, Arjuna. What he is seeing, he saw this Shiva standing, Brahma standing, there are mountains, rivers, and all kinds of things. How could he see all that? And what has happened to him? All these kind of thoughts will come to our mind. But what it is driving us is to make us understand that in realization when it happens, it's not a wonder anymore for Arjuna. It's not one anymore. What's happening here is that Arjuna is practically experiencing what was spoken. What was spoken till then. Krishna spoke so many things to Arjuna. And now Arjuna wants to experience that. And that is this Visharupa, this universal form. So, and that is why Arjuna is saying here, so if whatever we have spoken till now, if it was understood, it's nice. If it's not understood, it's boring, I don't know how it is. If we have to leave it at that, what can I say? So, in chapter 11, in 10 chapters, Krishna spoke about all his vibhutis, isn't it? And in the 11th chapter, Arjuna is in a very happy state. If you look at the verses, how he is, we'll come to that later. He feels that I've got it. Whatever Krishna has spoken, he has understood that. That happiness is there. Indeed, it is in that happiness Arjuna begins this chapter. It is with that happiness Arjuna begins this chapter. He says to Krishna, Krishna, you have blessed me, that, but I have one more desire, and that is what Krishna is, Arjuna is going to ask in the first verse. Let's start. Arjuna uvacha, madanugrahaya paramam, guhyam adhyalma samhitam, yatva yoktam vachastena, mohoyam vigado mama. Arjuna uvacha, madanugrahaya paramam, guhyam adhyalma samhitam, yatva yoktam vachastena, mohoyam vigato mama. Arjuna uvacha, madanugrahaya paramam, mad anugrahaya paramam, guhyam adhyalma samhitam. Every word is very carefully selected. Mad anugrahaya paramam guhyam adhyalmam samhitam. That is how it is. Mad anugrahaya paramam guhyam adhyalmam samhitam. Yet tvayoktam vachastena mohoyam vigato mama. Krishna says, Arjuna says, I have heard your instruction on confidential spiritual matters which you have so kindly delivered unto me, and my illusion is now dispelled. Illusion has gone. He says here, madanugrahaya paramam guhyam adhyalma samnidam yatva yoktam vachastena mohoyam vigato mama. It is not easy to say that, is it? Unless your illusion, that moham, that has gone. It took 10 chapters to get that illusion out from Arjuna. Arjuna, how did the illusion start? Illusion is in the first chapter, Arjuna's illusion. What is that? All my relatives are here. I have to fight the war. If I kill all these men, what will happen to the society? What will happen to many women will be without their husbands, their children will be gone. I would have committed the greatest crime of killing my teachers and my relatives, elders. All kinds of morals Arjuna spoke in the first chapter. When Krishna heard that in the second chapter, Krishna understood the situation where Arjuna is. So he had to start from the Sankhya. He spoke the Sankhya understanding, jnanam, knowledge was spoken in the second chapter. Krishna concluded everything. From then on, all other discussions came forth. So with the 10th chapter, practically Arjuna has saying now very with full confidence that mohoyam vigato mama, he says here. That up to this 10th chapter, including this 10th chapter, up to this time, guhyam, you can see the word guhyam. Guhyam means one what is inside guha. Guha means cave, gufa or guha, cave. One who is inside a cave. What is that guha? Guha means the cave inside, hridaya guha. Hridaya guhara madhye, inside the heart. So Krishna, Arjuna says, recognizing that, he is saying that, you have spoken to me about that substance, what is inside that cave. In other words, you have spoken to me about the soul. That is the most important teaching, isn't it? In the Bhagavad Gita, what is the most important teaching? Important teaching is this soul, presence of the soul. So up to this 10th chapter, end of this 10th chapter, Krishna spoke about the soul. How adhyatma samidam yato yoktam vachastena mohoyam vigado mama, he says he spoke to me, and after hearing that moham has gone. Moham means that delusion has gone, it has left me. In other words, all what we have as our own at the moment in all of us, what you can say it's your own is this avidya, ajnanam, moham. That's all what we have with us to tell the, to say the truth. We say that we have got a lot. What do we have? This ignorance, a huge heap of ignorance inside. That is what Krishna is saying here. And what is that? For so many lifetimes, in several lifetimes, we have acquired this wealth of this subtle body inside, which is completely filled with ajnanam. Ajnanam means avidya. And ajnanam means, avidya means, is not knowing something. Not knowing something is not ajnanam. what is happening here is, we do not know Krishna, but we know everything what is not Krishna. What is not Krishna? Outside Krishna, everything we know, but about Krishna, we don't know anything. This is called ajnanam. This is called ajnanam. Knowledge means, only you know about Krishna. You know only about Krishna. Everything else disappears. Everything else disappears. You see the difference there? That definition is very important. Normally, what do we say knowledge means? Suppose I have crammed a lot of books and a lot of information I have stored up in my head. People say, oh, he knows everything. He knows, got the knowledge, we'll say. In spiritual life, that is not knowledge. Spiritual life, vidya, avidya, we have to understand it like this. That if you have realization of the soul or knowledge of Krishna, in other words, then you will have no knowledge of anything else. There is no need, because there is nothing else exists. You see? Ajnani, in avidya state, what's happening is, we have no knowledge of the soul, therefore we have got knowledge of all the other garbage in this world. This is the ajnani state. Avidya state is called like that. So, as much as you increase this avidya by cultivating this knowledge of the matter, our knowledge of the soul will go. It is not possible to hold these two things together. There's only one thing, and that is knowledge of Krishna or knowledge of the soul. When we have the knowledge of the soul or knowledge of Krishna, there will be no knowledge of this matter or world as we have the knowledge today, like we have now today the knowledge of this world. Today what we consider as knowledge is, if I acquired a lot of information from books and other sources, and if I have stored up information in my head, and if I am busy with all that garbage in some university or laboratory, I'll be considered I am busy with that. And he is very expert in doing this research. You see, this is what we have to understand. Research is only possible in material knowledge. Research is not possible in spiritual knowledge. Spiritual realization, what happens is recognition. What's already existing, you got to recognize it. That's all it is. You don't have to do any research there. People talk about that, isn't it? They say we have to do some research on this. There is no research you can do in spiritual life. Spiritual life is not for research. Research you do with the matter. You don't do research with the soul. Nobody has done research with the soul so far. In spiritual life, you only realize it. What's already there. What's already there, you realize it. And that knowledge never changes. This is another interesting thing. That is why it is knowledge. If something is changing, it is not knowledge. This is the fundamental principle of the spiritual life. If something is changing, it's not knowledge. If anything that is not changing, is not. That is why that verse in the Bhagavad Gita is such a powerful and potent verse. Nasade vidyade bhavo na bhavo vidyade sadha ubhayorabhi drishtvandam stanayor tatvadarshimi. If you read the commentary on that, Bhashyam on that verses, you will see page after page stressing that point so forcefully to make us aware that research is not necessary in the spiritual life. There is no need for any research in spiritual life. In spiritual life, what is required is recognition. That you are realizing something and it becomes your recognition or your realization. That's all it is. If you think that, like in the material life, they do research work, like big laboratories and all, why don't we start a research project in spiritual life? Nothing will happen. Nothing will work there. That is the two different. Similarly, knowledge also is, in spiritual life, what is the knowledge? Knowledge is only Krishna exists. Only the soul exists. This knowledge of the matter, the way we are studying today, is supposed to be practically only useful for filling the belly. Nothing more than that. It doesn't help anywhere, in any way. It's of no use at the end. Except to fill the belly and get a job or get a something like that, it can help. But apart from that, as far as the knowing the truth is concerned, it cannot help. That's why it says, that's why these words you can see, Madanugrahaya paramam guhyam adhyalmam samidam. Guhyam adhyalmam samidam. Why it is spoken like that? It is guhyam. Guhyam means it will remain as guhyam, confidential or mystery to us till you realize it. You can speak about it, but no effect will have it on anybody till they realize it. They won't be, it is confidential still. It is kept as confidential always. Guhyam. Adhyalmam. Adhyalmam means spiritual. It is spiritual. Concerned about the soul. And adhyalmam samidam. That is what Arjuna is saying here. That knowledge of Krishna, knowledge of the soul is vidya. Knowledge of the matter or the understanding of anything in the outside, not knowing Krishna, is ignorance. Not knowing Krishna or not knowing soul is avidya. Not knowing soul is avidya. So, any research, any experiment you have done and all knowledge you have calculated, but if, because there is no Krishna there, no understanding of the soul in that, therefore it is avidya. That is how it is to be understood. So, once that realization of Krishna comes or soul comes, that remaining things doesn't exist. So, if that doesn't exist, Krishna is saying here, that jnanam, that is called jnanam. Only soul exists. And the way Prabhupada puts it is like this. You put number one here and put a lot of zeros after that. The figure has a big value. But if that one is not there, Krishna is not there, any amount of zeros you put after that, it is always zero. It always remains as zero. It is one is that soul or one is that Krishna. One is Krishna. So, when we take away Krishna from there, all other knowledge is ajnanam, avidya. It is avidya. It's no value from the spiritual place. Yeah. So, no matter if there is no Krishna in life, there is no Krishna in life, whatever you may achieve in this life, whatever you may acquire success in this world, acquire any amount of wealth and any position in this world, that if you have no experience of Krishna and if you have not put any effort in that direction, all these things, whatever you have got in life, at the end is a failure. At the end it is a failure. At the end it is a failure. That is the point. That is called avidya. That is called avidya. So, if you leave Krishna and you keep on adding these zeros one after the other, that is all avidya. And sometimes you can see this. In the Bhagavadam, it is spoken about this also. Particularly, you can see sometimes, not much of a great Krishna consciousness in someone, but is very poor. Sometimes you can see all this in people, some different places. In an industrialized society is a little different because of all kinds of complexities in the industrial life. What happens in the modern world is different. But in a society which is not very much regulated and controlled by the government, what happens normally is that you will see sometimes people who are very, very poor. Very, very poor. And not only that, when they are poor, they live a life doing a few things in this world, some simple business, little works here and there, and they will get some money from their work in this world, and they manage their life with that. Very, very poor life they live, but they have not complicated their life very much. In other words, they'll find some work every day somewhere to do. and they will earn a little money, and whatever little money they got it, they will buy some food in the evening, cook, eat that, and they will sleep peacefully that night. So they will night. But he will notice that that person will not experience the distress of a person who has acquired a lot of wealth in this world, and when the turmoils he goes through in his life, you won't see that in that poor man's life. If you observe, you will notice this, that many, many people in the villages, you will see that they work and they live a life completely on a daily income. What they work, they earn that particular day's wages, and with that money they will manage their day like that. And if you ask him that, as far as his Krishna consciousness is concerned also, he may not be in a very advanced state, may not have cultivated a lot of understanding, very simple. But because he kept everything very simple in his life, you will see a certain amount of satisfaction also in his life. In his life, he is able to sleep peacefully even after a whole day's work. But at the same time, the higher the position you have in this world, the more is the distress when you experience due to that position. That is a thing which you don't need explanation. If you observe carefully, you will notice that. So you can see from this, the more we absorb in these activities in this world to acquire wealth, accordingly distress also will increase. But on the other hand, suppose somebody has a little bit shelter in Krishna, and even if he remains poor in this world, he will be a happy person. And at the same time, even if he is an emperor in this world, if he is in Krishna's shelter, he will be happy. This is the important point. What I am saying here is, in Srimad Bhagavatam, there are two examples. One example, extreme poverty, and complete shelter of Krishna, he is happy. Sudama. Yeah. And a great powerful king, a lot of wealth, and complete shelter of Krishna, also happy. Ambarish. In the ninth canto. So these two personalities. So in other words, what it means is that it is taking Krishna's shelter that made Ambarish happy as well as Sudama happy. Not their material situation. So you can see here that Sudama went to see Krishna, and Krishna is asking Sudama, how are you? He is asking. Reply was, extremely happy, he says. Sudama's answer to Krishna is, extremely happy. Samruddhi. Samruddhi means plenty. Everything is plenty. What is plenty? Plenty is shanti. The peace inside is plenty. So because there is plenty of shanti or peace inside, he is complete fulfillment inside. That is why in the Bhagavatam you will see Gurur Anugrahenaiva Puman Purna Prashandaye. In the Bhagavatam, that is how it says, Gurur Anugrahenaiva Puman Purna Prashandaye. Sudama says to Krishna that by the spiritual master's mercy, that I have Purna Shandi, complete happiness in life, he says to Krishna. So Sudama could speak like that. And a powerful king like Ambarish, who had he was in the Solar dynasty, which means that a lineage where he was one of the most powerful emperor who ruled the planet with a lot of opulences he had, and he also took Krishna's shelter and he was happy. Sudama also took Krishna's shelter, he was also happy. So where did the shanti come from? Dijo vijnaya vijnayam tamasa paramashnute. In the Bhagavatam you will see this. Dijo vijnaya vijnayam tamasa paramashnute. That is, the Sukadeva Goswami says, Dijo vijnaya vijnayam tamasa paramashnute. Once you have known what you have to know in this life, then there is only shanti after that, peace after that. This is referring to Sudama, he is talking about. Dijo vijnana vijnayam. What is to be known, the Brahmana has come to know. And what the result was, tamasa param ashnude. He has crossed over that mode of tamogunam. Tamogunam has, he has crossed over that darkness and come over that. So, therefore, even in that extreme poverty, Sudama had peace. Sudama had peace. Now, what is mentioned here is that in our principle, in our life, what we say here, if Krishna is there, whether you are a poor person or you are a rich person, you can live happily. You can live happily. Jesus Christ, he changed a little bit in this. In the sense, he says here, he is more like a sannyasi, he spoke. His words are like a sannyasi. That's why he said, a rich, he had a little bit biased. This is where the difference between Bhagavatam and Bible. And more, Jesus is more towards the sannyasi's position. He says that a wealthy person, that even if you bring him through the needle, hole of a needle, if you brought him out, and even if you can do that, he says here, that the wealthy person can never reach the rich God. It's a statement like that, isn't it? That the it's difficult for a wealthy person to reach Krishna, reach the truth. That is, that statement is there in the Bible. Now, Bhagavatam does not say like that. Bhagavatam says that if Krishna is there, whether you are wealthy or poor, doesn't matter. If Krishna is there in life, it has a different when Jesus mentioned like that, what he was trying to say is that attachment must go from inside. In order to create that attachment, he spoke in that way to mention to us that me, mine, the wealth and all other things, akinchanatvam, that is the word used in the Bhagavatam. Nishkinjanasya bhagaval bhajanonmukhasya paramparam jigamishor bhavasagarasya sandarshanam vishayitam. Nishkinjanasya bhagavad bhajanon mukhasya. Nishkinjanan, one who has no wealth, or akinchana, one who has no wealth, or one who has got all the wealth, either way it doesn't matter. If bhajanon mukhasya, if he is not attached to Krishna, it's the same as far as Bhagavatam is concerned. It makes no difference. But on a relative plane, you will see that the poor person who doesn't have much, he seems to be happier in this world than the rich person who has got a lot and suffering with that wealth in this world. So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, a example which is opposite this is Ambarish Maharaj. Ambarish Maharaj's case, he was samardham, everything was he had. But Ambarish says that Ambarish Maharaj's statement, if you read in the Bhagavatam, he says, everything what you see in this creation is nothing but a dream, he says. Nothing but a dream. And the only thing that a truth here is Krishna. After saying that everything is false, he says here, he remains as an emperor in this world, and in complete peace with this world, Ambarish Maharaj. So both these examples are there in the Bhagavatam. One is an emperor and the other one is a completely poor person. And one person is extremely in a peaceful state, although totally poor, but always peaceful, both of them. What is, why they were peaceful? Because they added Krishna to their life. When Durvasava Maharshi came and put Ambarish in that awkward situation, Ambarish was not disturbed, wasn't it? In the Bhagavatam, you know that story. So, in other words, if there is knowledge of the soul in a person, if there is knowledge of the soul, irrespective of he is a rich person or a poor person, it doesn't have any effect. It doesn't have any effect. The delusion will go. So, this is what Arjuna is saying there, that madanugrahaya paramam guhyam adhyatmam samnidam yatvayoktam vachastena mohoyam vigado mama. Moham has gone. Mohoyam vigado mama. My moham, my illusion has gone. What is that illusion Arjuna is talking about? This is this illusion. What is that illusion? Like you saw in the case of Ambarish and in the case of Sudama, that both one had complete sufficient wealth, you can say extremely rich, and the other person extremely poor. But both are experiencing the same shanti inside, the peace inside. So why is it like that? So wealth wasn't making a difference to either of them, isn't it? So here Arjuna is saying, after hearing this Bhagavad Gita up to this 10th chapter, mata anugrahaya paramam, that by your, that anugraham, blessings, paramam, guhyam, the topmost realization I have started experiencing now, what is that? Adhyalpa samnidam yatva yoktam, what you have talked about, that spirituality, spiritual reality, adhyalpa samnidam yatva yoktam, vachasena, because of that, mohoyam vigado mama, that moham or illusion in me has gone. What is that illusion Arjuna is talking about? In other words, the illusion in Ambarish has gone. What was that illusion? Ambarish had no illusion inside that all this wealth was permanent for him. All this empire, kingdom or whatever he had is not the shelter. That is the illusion. The illusion is to take shelter of the world. That is the illusion. Ambarish came out of that. Sudama, although there was nothing in him, he had nothing to take shelter of, but still he didn't take shelter of it. That means he also was not in the, has any illusion. And here, he says here, that Arjuna says here, that objects in this world will give me happiness. That is that illusion. This is the greatest illusion. All of us have that illusion, isn't it? The object in this world will give me enough happiness. And I will remain under the shelter of this object. That is why it's becoming difficult for us to accept realization from what Krishna is talking about in the Bhagavad Gita. So long as we have this happiness in this world, even to some extent, even a little bit, doesn't have to be in a very higher level, even little bit of happiness you are due from this world, there will always be difficulty in accepting what Krishna is saying. And that is when Krishna has to put that strong injection of distress. Because otherwise it won't happen in life. Yasya aham anugrihnami harishe tadhanam sanyai tadodhanam tadyandasya sojanal dukha dukhidaha. Bhagavadam says, yasya aham anugrihnami, when Krishna wants to bless someone, harishe tadhanam shanaihi, first he takes away all the wealth away from him. And what will happen? Tado dhanam tajandyasyam, when he has lost all his wealth, sojanal dukha dukhidaha, nobody will come to see him, visit him, nobody will bring flowers, nobody will even say, wants to know what is going on in his life. So, but Krishna has to put you into that situation first. Only then it will happen. Only then it will happen. Otherwise it won't happen. As long as you have something in this world to hold on to, it is difficult. Still you will try somehow to keep with the society, somehow keep it going. And so that is one state in the spiritual life. But what Krishna is saying, Arjuna is saying here is, that illusion that this world and these objects in this world is a shelter and it's going to protect me and provide me what I need, that illusion must go away from my head. Krishna is, Arjuna is recognizing that and acknowledging that. So, we will stop there for 10 minutes and we'll continue after that. Okay. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare Madanugrahaya Paramam Guhyam Adhyatma Samhitam Yatva Yoktam Vachastena Mohoyam Vigato Mama. Arjuna says to Krishna, Madanugrahaya Mama Anugrahartham Paramam Niradishayam Guhyam Gopyam Adhyatma Samhitam Atma Atma Viveka Vishayam Yat Toyoktam Vacho Vakyam Tena Te Vachasa Mohoyam Vigato Mama. In other words, to bless me or to bless me, Krishna, Arjuna is saying to Krishna, Mama Anugrahartham, in order to give me this benediction, Paramam, the supreme realization, knowledge, Niradishayam. Niradishayam means which is beyond our imagination. Niradishayam, Guhyam, and the most confidential, Gopyam. Adhyatma Samhitam, the spiritual perfection of knowledge. What is that? Atma, Atma Viveka Vishayam, the self and the non-self. In other words, the soul and the matter. That difference between the soul and the matter. Yet Tvayoktam, what you have spoken, Vacho Vakyam, those words what you have spoken, Tenate Vachasa Mohoyam Vigato Mama, which I have heard from you, and my moham or illusion has gone. This is what Arjuna says to Krishna. Madanugrahaya paramam guhyam adhyalma samnidam yatvayoktam vachastena mohoyam vigato mama. Mohoyam vigato mama. So here we were talking about that knowledge what is when there is knowledge of Krishna, knowledge of the soul, that is knowledge. Ignorance means not knowing Krishna, not knowing soul, but in place knowing every other thing. Every other thing. While knowing Krishna, no other thing exists. Other things have no existence. And that is what the difference between knowledge and avidya and vidya, knowledge and ignorance, what was spoken earlier. So we were discussing this, that what is that? That moham. What was that moham? Moham is this, that objects in this world will give me happiness. That is moham. Any understanding that anything in this world will give us happiness, or anything is worthwhile taking shelter of, or it is going to make me happy, this is the greatest illusion in our mind. That is what Krishna, Arjuna is calling it as moham here. So when that moham leaves, as in the case of Sudama, as well as in the case of Ambarish, irrespective of what their material situation was, one was extremely poor and the other one was extremely rich, irrespective of what their situation was, they were free from this moham, from delusion. That is why that they were able to stay in their shanti, in peaceful state, irrespective of what their material conditions were, because they had no, this illusion was in there, in them. So if we come to understand this Brahman means this illusion in us, that it is a kind of a blind belief in one way, that for example you can see sometimes millions of miles away, the scientists have found a new planet. They found a new planet. Now if you have found that planet, has it made any difference in your life? Nothing has changed here. Has God given any benefit, any happiness in any way? So, simply by thinking about that, planet and you go to sleep, you get a better sleep because of that, that they have found out a new planet. No, nothing has happened. This is the kind of Brahman. This is the kind of illusion what he have. In other words, nothing that will benefit us in any way, we found out about them and knowing about that and endeavoring to find out knowledge of that and throw them away everything and to inquire about the soul and knowing about oneself, in other words, or one's own identity, and that alone will bring Shanti. In other words, when you find out what is Krishna, what is soul, that brings Shanti. That is why Arjuna is saying here that this word, by hearing your words, saying to Krishna, by hearing your words, my ignorance is gone. Mohoyam vigado mama. Mohoyam vigado mama. And in other words, only by hearing about the soul, that illusion will go. That illusion will go from inside. And that is what it is in the next verse you will see. Bhavapyayau hi bhudanam shuto vistara shomayam tattva kamala patraksham mahalpyam abhijavyayam bhavapyayau hi bhudanam shuto vistara shomayam tattva kamala patraksham mahalpyam abhijavyayam bhavapyayau hi bhudanam shuto vistara shomayam tattva kamala patraksha mahalpyam abhijavyayam. Arjuna is saying, O lotus-eyed one, I have heard from you in detail about the appearance and disappearance of every living entity as realized through your inexhaustible glories. Here you will see how Arjuna is realizing Krishna. If you read that purport, you will notice something very interesting. Arjuna says here, Arjuna addresses Krishna as a lotus-eyed. Krishna's eyes appear just like the petals of a lotus flower out of his joy. Krishna assured him in the last verse of the previous chapter that he sustains the entire universe with just a fragment of himself. He is the source of everything in this material manifestation. Arjuna heard of this from the Lord in detail. Arjuna further knows that in spite of his being the source of all appearances and disappearances, he is aloof from them. His personality is not lost, although he is all-pervading. Although he is all-pervading. So these two things, personality and all-pervasiveness, exist simultaneously in Krishna. All-pervasiveness and knowing both is complete knowledge. Not only knowing one thing. Knowing this all-pervasiveness and knowing this personality, both are equally important. And Arjuna says that he sees that both, Arjuna here, he mentions that Arjuna, his personality is not, although he is all-pervading, although he is the, knows that in spite of his being the source of all appearances and disappearances, he is aloof from them. That is the inconceivable opulence of Krishna, which Arjuna admits that he has thoroughly understood. Now, Krishna, Arjuna says here, that I have heard about their glories, that was that what was spoken in the last chapter. Bhavapyayau hi bhudanam shruto vistarasho maya. That vistarasho means that in elaborately I have heard from the last chapter. And vistarashtvatva mahalpam abhija avyayam, he says. And that mahalpam, that glory is avyayam, inexhaustible, which never decreases. In other words, you cannot, no matter how much you try to explain Krishna's glories, it is unlimited. In other words, Krishna, Arjuna is recognizing Krishna's position as the absolute truth, not only from a personal level, but as Brahman as well. So you can see here that when what does it mean? Inexhaustible means it never gets reduced. Suppose you take something out of it, it never gets reduced. That means from that consciousness, pravancham, or the creation, that creation is happening from the consciousness, isn't it? Bodham, avabodham, isn't it? Sandram, anandam, avabodham. That avabodham chit shakti, what we refer to, satya chitta anandam, isn't it? Ishara paramakrishna sachidananda vigraha. That satya chitta anandam, three things. In that three things, the chit shakti is the most powerful thing. It is from there all the creation happens, including the mind, intelligence, everything is coming from the chit shakti. So that chit shakti's operation is what is spoken here, that even though so many living entities are coming out from there, the creation is coming out from there, in spite of all that, chit shakti is still present as it is. It never gets reduced. It never loses its capacity. That is that power of that bodham. You can imagine that. From that pure consciousness, everything happens. Whole creation comes. All living entities comes out. Remember in the beginning what I mentioned. It is from creation, as far as the Vedas are concerned, it is Chit Shakti from where creation happens. See, in Puranam, in all the Puranam, different Puranas, there is a little bit difference the way creation is spoken. I mentioned that so many times before. That in Bhagavatam, there is one way of creation spoken. Primary creation, secondary creation through Brahma and through Prajapatis like that, Dasha Prajapati and all that. Now, you may, I don't know how you felt, when you read that, you'll see Brahma has created all these Kumaras, four Kumaras. Lord Shiva came from the from Brahma. And then Prajapatis came from Brahma. Some of them were Manasa Srishti. Manasa Srishti from the mind. He has created, Brahma has created. Now, these things are very inconceivable for us in our present state, isn't it? How that creation happened. So, purpose of all this is not to confuse us with creation. Because we have a desire to know this very strong in us, isn't it? Where this creation has come from in all of us, isn't it? And that is why the scientists are after researching how the origin of the creation, origin of the universe has come. They are trying to find out through their research process. The sages have already thought all these things much more in depth than what the scientists are talking about today. And they have come to know that unless the attention goes into the person who is researching, rather than what is the object that you are researching, that is where the key. The key for all this research is, who is this person who is researching? And that is inquiry completely takes a different level in, at that way. And they gave importance to that more than the manifested world. The science gives importance to the manifested world, isn't it? And they are thinking that by their experiments they may find where this source is. But rishis are saying that we will not bother about this because this creation is not the truth. It is continuously changing. There must be something which is not changing, which is the source from where all these things have come. And that you can't reach there by experiment. That is their logic behind it. And therefore, they have thought about all these things in depth before they have come to this conclusions. So Vedas are talking only about that, the source from where all this has come. That is why Bhagavatam begins with that statement, Janmadhyase Yataha. Janmadhyase Yataha. Everything, the source from where everything comes. So here you will see that that avyayam, that talking about this, Bhavapeyauhi Bhudanam Shuto Vistareshomaya Tutva Kamala Patraksha Mahalpam Abhijavyayam. Mahalmyam, your glories are avyayam. It just no, it never diminishes. It never decreases. He's talking about that bodham, consciousness or the soul at that point. That aspect of Krishna. Krishna, devotee sees Krishna as a person. Jnani sees as consciousness. Jnani sees as consciousness. Devotee sees it as Krishna. It doesn't matter. Ultimately, the subject, vastu is the same. Vastu is the same. The source from where everything comes. The source of where everything comes. So, and that is what he says here. Bhavapeyohi bhudhanam shudho vistaresho maya. In that bodham, in that consciousness, creation, maintenance, and dissolution, everything is continuously happening. ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ഹാപ്പനിങ് വിത്ത് ദ ബാക്ക്ഗ്രൗണ്ട് ഓഫ് ദിസ് കോൺഷ്യസ്നെസ് ബോധം അവബോധം ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് വൈ ദാറ്റ് ചിത് ശക്തി ഈസ് റെഫർ ടു ബട്ട് ഓൾദോ ഓൾ ദീസ് തിങ്സ് ആർ ഹാപ്പനിങ് ഇറ്റ് ഡസൻ്റ് ഹാവ് എനി ഇമ്പാക്ട് ഓൺ ദി ബോധം ഓൺ ദി കോൺഷ്യസ്നെസ് ക്രിയേഷൻ ഈസ് ഹാപ്പനിങ് സസ്റ്റനൻസ് ഓർ ഡിസൊല്യൂഷൻ ഈസ് ഹാപ്പനിങ് ബട്ട് ഇൻ സ്പൈറ്റ് ഓഫ് സോ മെനി തിങ്സ് ഹാപ്പനിങ് ദ സ്ക്രീൻ ബിഹൈൻഡ് ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് നോട്ട് അഫക്റ്റഡ് വിച്ച് ഈസ് ദ ചിത് ശക്തി വിച്ച് ഈസ് ദി ചിത് ശക്തി സോ വി വിൽ അണ്ടർസ്റ്റാൻഡ് ദിസ് വെൻ വി അണ്ടർസ്റ്റാൻഡ് ഹൂ വി ആർ ഹൂ വി ആർ വാട്ട് ഈസ് അവർ ഐഡൻറ്റിറ്റി ഹൂ ഐ ആം ആൻഡ് വേർ ഹാവ് ഐ കം ഫ്രം ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് വൈ സേസ് ഭവാപ്യയൗ ഹി ഭൂതാനാം ഭവാപ്യയൗ ഹി മീൻസ് സൃഷ്ടി ക്രിയേഷൻ മെയിൻ്റനൻസ് ആൻഡ് ഡിസ്ട്രക്ഷൻ എവറിഥിങ് യു ക്യാൻ സീ ഇൻ ദിസ് കോൺഷ്യസ്നെസ് ഹാപ്പനിങ് ഭവാപ്യയൗ ഹി ഭൂതാനാം ഭൂതാനാം മീൻസ് ലിവിങ് എൻറ്റിറ്റീസ് they are taking birth they are living and then they are dying and all this appearance maintenance and their destruction is all happening in the bodham adhishtanam or the basis of the soul it's the soul that is the basis where all these things are happening all this is happening so bhavapayahi bhudanam shudo vistarasho maya so in other words this evolution or this dissolution All these things are happening every day in us. If you observe carefully, you will notice that. So what happens to us? We go to sleep at night, isn't it? And when we are in the deep sleep, the body doesn't exist. The material world doesn't exist. We have already dissolved there at that time. That is that dissolution what we are talking about. We have to connect that with our own life in this world. Otherwise, it makes no sense. If you are thinking about dissolution of the planet after the millions and millions of years, that doesn't mean. What it means here is that Krishna is saying, Arjuna is saying here, Shruto vistare bhavapeyau hi bhudanam. Living entities, they appear in the morning and then they, after acting, in the vacant state they stay and they go through the dream state and into the deep sleep where they lose their body as well as their mind and everything is dissolved they themselves dissolves in the avyaktam avyaktam means unmanifested so practically it is happening every night it is happening if you look into Bhagavad Gita you will see some very interesting statements when Krishna talks about the body in the 13th chapter if you look how Krishna presents the body and see the difference between a doctor's or medical presentation of the body you will see there that Krishna wants to define the body it is in the early verses in the 16th chapter sorry in the 13th chapter in the 13th chapter and he says there if we look into the if you look into verse 5 verse 5 he says there rishabhir bahuda proktam bahuda geetam chandobir vividhai prathak brahma sutra padesh cheva hedu madbhir vinischitei is a quite an unusual way of presenting this gross body rishabhir bahuda geetam he says sages have spoken in many different ways I'll read the translation the knowledge of the field of activities And the knower of activities is described by various sages in various Vedic writings, especially in the Vedanta Sutram, and is presented with all reasoning as to cause and effect. If you read Brahma Sutram, you will see there that the origin of this body, how it is explained, totally different than the way the medical science is going to tell us. And when you put the logic of Vedavyas into it, you will see how correct he is. He is saying that this body, as long as the soul is present inside, it has some meaning. The moment soul leaves the body, whatever experiment you do with this body will never become perfect. His point is that. That is why in medical science, they do all the research on the dead body, isn't it? All the doctors and all. Every day, they collect all the dead bodies where whoever can offer their body for research. Vedavyasa's point is that, and then they cut pieces and take it out and open up and all kinds of experiments they do with this body, he is saying that the soul, while he is inside this body, it has some meaning. And how that soul controls the body, how the soul's presence in the body affects the body is very difficult to say. It's very difficult to say. That is why Rishabhir Bahudha Gita, he says there in that verse. In different ways, different sages have spoken about it. And you can't blame them for that, because the soul is such, there is no one way you can say it will act like this. That's the beauty of the spiritual life. When the soul is present in matter, how that matter will react to any situation is very difficult to clearly define. Because each soul, when soul is present in matter, it acts in different ways. That is why it says, Rishabhir Bahudha Gitam. It says, Bahudha Gitam. For example, tell you, Ayurvedam will say that you have got air, bile, mucus, the balance of these three things, isn't it? Vata, Pitta, Kapham. Tridosham, they call it. The three. Ayurvedam talks about that. The balancing of these three things. The Vedantam says, this body has come from Prarabdham. Prarabdham is the cause of this body. That is the Vedanta conclusion. Prarabdham is the cause of this body. Now, if you ask which one is right, both are right. Both are right. By in one level, if you look at it, Vedantam is right. Prarabdham is the cause of the whole problem with this gross body. On the other level, as far as maintaining this body is concerned, Ayurvedam can help you also. Can help you also. So clearly to put your finger and say that this is it, what has caused this body, how this body is reacting to every situation is very difficult. That is why Krishna is not giving a straight answer. Have you noticed there? He's not giving you a straight answer. Why? Because he is saying, sages have spoken like this. Rishabhir Bahudha Gitam, he says. Rishabhi, the sages, Bahudha Gitam, they have spoken in many different ways about this body. Whereas medical science won't accept all these things. Medical science will say, we have done the research, we have got these results. But they are never perfect, if you observe. That never they can give you a clear-cut answer about the body. About the body. They can never give that, because they are experimenting with the dead body and coming out with the results. This is the problem. They are coming out with the results. So that is why in that verse, if you look, you will see Krishna took only two verses to describe this body. That is the verse 6 and 7. Mahabhudanyahankaro buddhir avyaktame vacha indriyani deshaikamcha panchachendriyako charaham ichadvesha sukham dukham sangadaschedana dhriti edar kshetram samasena savikara mudahridam. In these two verses, Krishna spoke what he had to say about the body. Can you imagine? And after saying that, you see, that's all Krishna wanted to say about the body. He says, Mahabhudani ahankaram buddhi avyaktam indriyani dashaigam panjajendriya gochari. Then icha dvesham sukham dukham sanghatam chetana dhruti edar kshetram samasena savigaram udahridam. If you analyze those two verses, it is very simple. The first verse is about the gross body. The second verse is about the subtle body. That's all. It is finished. There's nothing more to it than that. That is the Krishna's point. You are giving so much importance to this gross body and trying to analyze this and making experiments and research and all kinds of things. Why? Because you have completely misunderstood what you are, first of all. He says here, Mahabhudani. Mahabhudani means the five material elements. Pancha Mahabhudam. Five material elements. Then Ahankaram. That is the basis from where everything begins. False ego. And based on that, Buddhi Avyaktam Evaja. Avyaktam means that that is the state when you go to sleep. That is the Avyaktam state. Avyaktam state is Vyaktam comes. Vyaktam means manifested. From unmanifested comes manifested something. Isn't it? So when we go to sleep at night, we go to that unmanifested state. Avyaktam it is. Nothing is clear at that time. Body doesn't exist. Mind doesn't exist. And senses doesn't exist. Nothing exists. What exists then? What is existing? Only the soul existing at that time. And that too, we are experiencing that he existing, the proof of that is when you wake up from the deep sleep and you come back, that you remember that experience of that happiness, what you had in the deep sleep is the proof of that existence of the soul at that time. So only you existed in the deep sleep, nothing else existed. Body didn't exist, the mind didn't exist. Mahabhudani ahangaram, then buddhi. Buddhi is the intelligence. Avyaktam evacha. Avyaktam means that unmanifested state. So creation, as far as Bhagavad Gita is concerned, is like that. Every night we are created, every morning we are created, and every night we are gone. We come back again the next morning. That is our real nature. That is what it is. Every morning this body is given, we enter into the body and the whole thing functions. Every night we leave the body and go back to avyaktam, to unmanifested state. That's why. Indriyani deshaikam cha. Then the five senses of knowledge and five senses of action, which we know what it is. Shabdam, shabda sparsha rupa rasa gandham, which you know, sound, touch, hear, smell, and sound, touch, hear, smell, and taste. Yeah. So, shabdam, sound, sparsham, touch, rupam, form, sparsh, rupam, rasam, taste, and gandham, smell. So, the five senses of knowledge and the five senses of action also. These ten, these all what we do during the day, isn't it? There's nothing else happening in us except these five senses of knowledge and senses of action is interacting. And panchajendriya, indriya gochare. What else? Panchajendriya gochare. That these senses requires sense objects to interact with. So sense objects also to interact with. That is the gross body, what Krishna is saying. Krishna, if you study anatomy in medicine and branches of medicine like that, there is so much written, so many books what they have created about this body. And when you start reading all that, you start wondering that is this, because they are keeping that matter only as a separate thing from the soul. But actually, it is due to the presence of the soul only that has any meaning. All this anatomy, everything has some meaning only when you are present inside there. And that is why Krishna is saying here, from there, Icha Dvesham Sukham Dukham. Icha means desire. It is from desire everything comes. We desire. And this desire is the whole, and the desire comes from false ego. Desire comes from false ego. So false ego, desire go together, and from desire comes, you can see Dvesham Sukham Dukham. Sanghadam. Sanghadam means all these things, which one, what the first verse has spoken, that means the gross body, the mind, intelligence, senses, and everything, it's all kept together, and there is a point where it is tied to, and that is called Sanghadam. Sanghadam means you need some kind of a post to which everything is tied together so that it can function as one unit. And then Sanghadam is Ahankaram, false ego. If the false ego is not there, all these things cannot work together. It's false ego that is keeping the whole thing together. It's not the gross false ego what we talk about. We talk about all of us have false ego in us. And that false ego operates like this through the combination of all these things. Eda kshetram samasena sa vikaram udahridam. Krishna used the word very selectively there. He says, this kshetram, this body, samasena, I am talking to you in a nutshell, why savikaram udahridam? It is meant to change all the time. Everything in that is spoken in these two verses continuously changes. Because it is changing, Krishna says, savikaram. Vikaram means it is subject to change all the time. And they will, because they are continuously changing, that is not the truth. There itself, Krishna cut off everything, saying that that is not the truth. What is changing cannot be truth, isn't it? It's understandable. Anything that is continuously changing, it cannot be the truth. Something that which doesn't change has to be the truth. And truth never changes. And that is why he mentions it like that. So, in this verse, Krishna is saying, Arjuna mentioned here, that tvatva kamala vaktrasha mahalmim abhijavyayam, avyayam, that inexhaustible nature of the soul he has spoken about here. And you can see after that he says here that that bodham ahamasmi, that consciousness inside, which it is there that all this creation happens, the maintenance happens, the dissolution happens, everything is happening here. All these things will be understood when we realize ourselves, what we are, what's our identity. So, these srishti, creation or dissolution is all happening every night within us. Within us. Yudho vistaresho maya. He says here. So, how did this this creation happens? And where does the creation eventually dissolve? Why? Because the basis of everything is the soul. Basis of everything is the soul. So, in soul stands this creation. And in the soul, because of the presence of the soul, the creation goes on. And because of the presence of the soul, eventually it dissolves everything into the soul again. That is referred to as the Chit-Shakti. Chit-Shakti. So, how many, you will see in the Bhagavatam a lot of avataram. Avataram mentions there, isn't it? Incarnations. So many incarnations spoken. And avataram. How many avataram? Actually, everything in this creation is avataram. Krishna's avataram. That is why in the Bhagavatam you will see avataram asankhyoyam. Unlimited, Krishna says there. That's how you have to understand that verse. 24 major incarnations were spoken in the Bhagavatam. If you read the third chapter, you will see 24 major incarnations. After saying that, Narada Maharshi says to Vedavyas, this is not the only incarnations. Avataram asankhyoyam. There is unlimited incarnations happening in this creation. Why? Every living entity is an incarnation of Krishna in one way or the other. Isn't it? One way or the other. So, therefore, it says everything that comes out, manifests from that consciousness is an avataram. It's an incarnation. It's an incarnation. Yada vidasa sahasrasha. So, just like from a huge lake, so many channels are coming out, water is flowing away. Similarly, Brahmam, that Brahmam, all these different incarnations are happening. So, everything what you perceive in this creation is Krishna's avataram or Krishna's form. So, if you remove the name and form from everything, it is Brahmam. It is Brahmam. If you look at the name and form, it is the world. It's the world. If you remove the name and form, it is Brahmam. That is how you have to, the preliminary understanding of that. Name and form makes everything as the world. You experience it as the world. Namarubam. Whereas if you take name and form, there is no male, there is no female, there is no there is no plant, there is no tree. And in everything there is only one vastu who is present, that is the soul. And prabhancham or creation itself is completely that Brahmam, what is present here. And this is Krishna's mahalmyam, what Arjuna is talking about there. Bhavapayauhi bhudhanam shrutau vistarashomaya tvatva kamala patraksha mahalmyam. That word mahalmyam is referring to that. That in present in everything, in different names and forms. If you start every seeing, observing everything in this creation with a particular name and form, then it is the world what you are seeing. If you remove the name and form, and if you only see the substance in that, the essence of it, which is Brahmam, and that is Krishna's Mahalmyam. Mahalmyam, Krishna's glory. That is what Mahalmyam is talking about. Like earlier, we saw what is Moham means. The Mahalmyam is this, that he is present in everything, but you don't know that he is present. You are only seeing the name and the form outside. So, that is what Krishna says here, that in all these things, and if you have Mahalmyam abhija avyayam, so In other words, you have started experiencing everything, Krishna's presence there. Arjuna says here to Krishna that whatever I have understood now, I want to see it in that way. I want to see it in that way. Krishna says to him, Krishna, because earlier Krishna has told Arjuna something more interesting. Krishna put it in like this way to Arjuna. Arjuna, in everything I am present. In the Vibhuti Yogam, that is how he put it. He puts it there. If you look into the chapter 9, fourth verse, you will see there how Krishna puts there. In the ninth chapter, in the fourth verse, he says, Mayatadam idam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina. Ninth chapter, fourth verse. It's so complicated this way Krishna has explained it to Arjuna. Mayatadam idam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina. Matstani sarva bhutani na chaham teshu avastida. Mayatadam idam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina. Matstani sarva bhutani na chaham teshu avastida. Look at that. By me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. Mahayadadam idam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina matsani sarva bhudani na chaham teshu avastida. Krishna says there. So here, that thing, that statement in that chapter, made Arjuna to understand that Krishna's, what is Krishna? When we talk about Krishna, okay, as a devotee, we are concerned Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. We accept that. There is no problem with that. But imagine understanding this aspect of Krishna also, that the way Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is talking about himself when he spoke to Arjuna. Mayadada vidam sarvam jagada vyakta murtina matstani sarva bhudani na chaham teshu avastida. I am present in everyone. Jagad avyakta murtina. Nobody knows me, but I am there. He says, jagad avyakta murtina. Matstani sarva bhudani. I am in everybody present there. Na chaham teshu avastida. But nobody is in me. All these statements, when you have to connect with Arjuna, when he talks about here, that he says here, that this whole universe, what you see in this creation, I am present in that. Krishna is saying here in that verse, isn't it? Mastani sarva bhudani. I am present everywhere. So, when Krishna said that, Arjuna says, I would like to see that. How you are present in all of them? This was Arjuna's problem. Arjuna is hearing all these words from Krishna. And Arjuna is thinking, if I could experience that, what Krishna has spoken, that is why. And when he said like that, that is why Arjuna is going to put his request to Krishna now. In the next one or two verses, we will see here. That in other words, Krishna's presence, all-pervading presence in everything, in the whole creation. Because Krishna said to Arjuna before that, Mayadadam idam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina. When Krishna says this to Arjuna, that I am present in everyone, in everything. Matsani sarva bhudhani, but they are not present in me. Arjuna was a little bit curious to find out, what is that? How are you present in everything? So that's when he was asking to understand this universal presence of Krishna, how he is present. So in other words, Vishwarupa Darshanam, this universal form, is only an expansion of Krishna's energy. How Krishna's energy is expanded the whole creation. So, Vishwam, how it's present here. In other words, realizing that Pranan is Krishna's energy, isn't it? Krishna is present in us also. Why? Only because Krishna is present in us that we have got this Prana Shakti. Prana Shakti means this ability to do things, ability to move, ability to function. Everything is coming from the Pranan. So that Prana Shakti, the power of Prana, is Krishna's universal presence in everything. So, in order to see that, you know, want to see that Pranan or want to experience that Pranan, science is telling us that, science is saying to us that here, for example, they talk about this mic. They're saying that there is no mic here. Actually, what is present here is the electrons and the protons and the neutrons, the way the scientific language is explaining. So, they are also saying the atoms and the molecules and all kinds of things. So, and they say that in everything in this creation, there is a vibration. going on. There is a vibration going on. And that stands in this form of the mic. If you study physics, you will see they're explaining all these things. So they say that everything is vibration. Spandanam is going on. So suppose you experience this whole creation with that vibration going on in every object in this world. In your own body, when we, at the moment, we are in the body, but we have no identification with the soul. We don't know what we are. Sometimes you will notice that we say we are in the bodily concept of life. Actually, it is a misunderstanding. That word itself is. Consciousness cannot touch the body. Consciousness cannot touch the body. Consciousness is only for the soul. When you're touching the body, what you're experiencing actually is not the consciousness of the body. You're experiencing actually the consciousness of the soul. So that is why this sharira bhodam or sharira bodily, body is a dead thing. But because you have consciousness inside, when you touch the body, you feel the consciousness. Otherwise, you can't experience consciousness. The presence of the soul creates this experience of consciousness in a body. Body can never experience any bhotam. Body cannot have consciousness. Body is dead matter. But we feel that there is consciousness in the body because the soul is inside. It's a little different than the way we think about it. If you think about it, you will see, understand that. When you see that difference between the body and the soul, when Krishna talks about it later in the Bhagavad Gita, you will see this. Then, suppose there is a fly comes and sits on my body. It can sit anywhere on this body. But it is sitting on my body, isn't it? Whether it is on the leg or it is on my head. But for that fly, if it is sitting on my leg, it will see that there is a long distance it has to travel to get to my head. Isn't it? To get to my head. So, but he is sitting on the body and the consciousness is present on the leg as well as on the head. So, irrespective of the fly moves from the leg to the head, I am experiencing the presence of the fly, whether it is on the leg or it is on the head. So, similarly, so many things are happening in this world, isn't it? But we are not aware of now so many things, what's going on. Why we are not? Because we can't. We don't have that consciousness like that. Our consciousness will only able to report back something what is experienced to a limited level, to a limited extent. So, for example, I'm sitting here now. I don't know what's happening in some place in America. What else is going on there? I don't know anything about it. I'm not conscious of that, isn't it? Because, but if your body becomes the whole world, what will happen? Anywhere, everywhere, whatever happens, you become conscious of that. That is why Upanishads will say like this, Aham eva vishvatavam narayanaya namaha. Vishwam, when the whole world becomes your own body, that Vishwadharam, it becomes your own body, and one who has come to that realization, that Sashalka realization, his energy will expand and it will permeate into everything in this creation. And that is what has happened to Arjuna. That's what's happened. Krishna was able to take Arjuna to that level that he started experiencing this his presence in everything. When we talk about that presence of Krishna means that realization, this is what we have to understand. From the soul, everything has come, isn't it? Soul is the basis. And it is that soul is Krishna. And Krishna is saying that, Arjuna, now you experience my universal form, what I am. You see me now. And Arjuna started experiencing for a short period of time from this state of Krishna, as Krishna state. That means he is not identifying with own limited material body. He is identifying with the creation. And in that experience, in that identification, what he is experiencing is the universal form what is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. That's how you have to understand. Otherwise, if you simply think Arjuna was standing there and Krishna was showing some big form with the lots of eyes, lot of hands, lot of legs, and then Arjuna got frightened with that. No, that's not what it is. Arjuna is seeing that in the whole creation is Krishna. And he gave that experience to Arjuna for a while, but because he was still in his gross body, he could not sustain that for very long. If you have left your gross body and you have become identified with that all-pervasive aspect of Krishna, then there is no more fear existing anymore. That is why that particular kind of liberation, what the jnanis are looking for, is a kind of liberation where they become oneness with the truth, isn't it? Sayujyam they refer to. It's that state where they have completely become one with the truth. That is their realization on that. A devotee do not opt that, he like to continue his relationship with Krishna in a personal level. That's all the difference is. Both are correct in their own way. Both have their own right to do what they do. That's justified. Devotee likes to continue his relationship with Krishna in some form, and that he is also given the opportunity to do so. But jnanis have that option, that they believe in that, that this realization that makes them happy to become one with the truth. There is no more afterwards, there's no more repeated birth and death. That's what he says here. So everything, when your pranam has permeated like that throughout the creation, you can see that everything is happening within you in one place. It can experience that, and in one place again. So many people have spoken about that. So such an experience is Arjuna is going to ask Krishna, that experience. That is what in the next verse, what you will see. We'll read that verse and we'll continue next on tomorrow. Verse 3. Evametam yadha evametam yadha tattvam आत्मानं परमेश्वरं द्रष्टुं इच्छामि ते रूपं ऐश्वर्यं पुरुषोत्तमं एवमेतं यथा तत्त्वम् आत्मानं परमेश्वरं द्रष्टुं इच्छामि ते रूपं ऐश्वर्यं पुरुषोत्तमम् एवं एतद् यथा तत्त्वम् आत्मानं परमेश्वरं परमेश्वर द्रष्टुं इच्छामि ते रूपं ऐश्वर्यं Purushottama, O greatest of all personalities, O supreme form, though I see here before me your actual position, I yet wish to see how you have entered into this cosmic manifestation. I want to see that form of yours. Basically, Arjuna is asking Krishna, how, when you say that you have spread all over the creation, how did that happen? How does that, how do you experience that? And Arjuna wants to experience that. Arjuna also wanted to experience that. So Krishna gave that opportunity later on. So we'll continue tomorrow. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.